please don't take this person out. Would you politely go to hell? Get the fuck out of my way, cause it's been one of those days.
This is platinum. This is the class.
We're talking Ferris wheels.
You've got a sassy walk.
Right. Hang on.
Put a collar on for the Lord.
Was there talk of going full Phantom?
I doubt it.
I am also laughing at that.
Everybody gave Daddy what he needed. Mad at all.
Live on tape, it's the fastest hour in podcasting. This is Never Not Funny. Now, here's your host, Jimmy Pardo.
Hello, everybody. You guys, welcome to the program, episode 36L of the award-winning podcast, Never Not Funny. We're back in the studio, although I do sound still a little gravelly. My voice still sounds a little not 100%, but we'll get through it. But we're in person. No guest today. I figure if I still have COVID, why get four people sick? So this way I just get three people sick. The three I love. You sick the people you love. I think that's the phrase. I might be wrong on that, but I will look into it. But I had a workup this morning with my doctor. You know my doctor.
Vinny Bumbas.
Yeah, and he gave me the okay to come to work. And so here I am. And we're on a beautiful day here. I'm full disclosure, wish I was at home watching the White Sox Cubs game. Here's my dilemma, Matt Belknap, and yeah. This is of no, maybe there's a soccer version of this as well.
Okay.
During baseball season, what I love the most is very often the Cubs play more day games than any other team in baseball because mm-hmm. they got the beautiful friendly confines of Wrigley Field.
They love it.
And what I love is I will watch the Cubs. We'll usually start around 11:20, and then the White Sox will come on around 4:40, 5:10. So I get to watch both. And I enjoy that. That's a day of baseball for me. Mm-hmm. When the Cubs play the Sox, that's one game. And while I enjoy watching the Cubs play the Sox, the Crosstown Classic, they call it, mm-hmm. I don't like that. Then it's just over.
Yeah.
It's over, one game. Is there a soccer version of that for you? Two teams play each other?
Yeah, well, on the weekends, yeah, the games start at 4 a.m. here because they're all in Europe. And then they go until noonish mm-hmm. Interesting fact, the Spanish, you may know this from just culture, you know, Spaniards love to have a late dinner. They'll have dinner at like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock.
I did not know that.
So they play games at like 10 o'clock at night, like starting at 10 o'clock, which is crazy. So like here, that means those games sometimes are on a bit later into our afternoon, which is nice. But I don't think I can watch. I think I start, you know, like, I don't know. That's too much for me. Like I could watch maybe two games, but.
But I guess what I'm getting specifically.
Yeah.
I know you have your favorite squad.
Yeah.
As I do, the White Sox. Yeah. But I also like watching the Cubs.
Yeah.
You have your favorite squad. Is there a second squad that mm-hmm. you also like watching? And then sometimes they play each other and then you only get to watch one game.
No.
Or one match.
No, because I really only, I kind of. At some point in time chose like, this is the team I like in England. This is the team I like in Germany. This is the team I like in Italy and Spain. And so like they only play each other in Champions League and pretty rarely. And so that wouldn't conflict with the weekend games, which is like the league would be the league. So, yeah, I mean, the closest thing is what you're talking about is the what they call derbies, derby, you know, like a game between two crosstown rivals, and there's a lot. There's like six or seven teams in London alone, so there's a lot of inter-city battles and rivalries, and those games are fun. But it's not taking away soccer from me because I wouldn't be watching the other team. I would only be watching my team. So,
all right, I guess in the long run, that was a yes or no answer question.
Yeah, I wanted to find something, some common ground with you, but
I'm not asking for common ground. I just was asking for a yes or a no.
The answer's no, then.
I had heard about Spaniards having dinner at midnight.
I think that's interesting. I think it's interesting that they play soccer later.
Not in this context. It's not. I wanted a yes or a no.
Well, I guess I
got a guy sitting out for an enchilada at 11:15. That's not what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for tacos at high noon. I call midnight high noon, by the way.
Oh.
I call noon, and I call midnight high noon because it's not.
It's confusing because it becomes a.m., and you're like, but that's morning.
Yeah, so I call it high noon. It seems. By the way, it's me doing that confuses everybody else that I speak to.
Obviously, it would.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I've never lost a duel because I always have it high noon.
Didn't show up.
That's a no-show.
I win.
That's a no-show. That's a forfeit.
That's similar to you. You are a guy, and I understand why, because of your career. You're a guy, and I didn't think of this, but it came up when we hooked up Skylight calendar. You're a guy who sets all your calendars to start on Monday instead of Sunday.
That's exactly right.
And you know, if you buy a calendar in a store, it always has Sunday being the first day of the week, which I agree with you on paper. Monday's the start of the week. Like, it's stupid that they do it that way. But because we're all used to it that way, because of the way printed calendars have always been, it confuses me when I see it on our calendar here.
Well, it is a Monday through Sunday. And again, you know what? We did it that way at the record store, too, because... That would be the week, Monday through. That's how you got paid, Monday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh.
And that would be the schedule. Would be for the week. Would be Monday through Sunday.
Yeah. But especially with stand up, if you're doing, you know, five nights of shows, you really don't want to have to be like, okay, so it's I'm doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then whoop, now I got to whoop, go all the way around.
In fact, Matt, I'll tell you this: when I look at comedy club websites that use just the template, it'll be. You know, not me anymore, but in the old days, Jimmy Pardo, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
And then it's Sunday just dangling out there on its own. Yeah. And then the next guy, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's a mess.
It's a mess. And
it doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good. It
doesn't feel good.
So I'm a month through sun guy. You know that. I've always been a month through sun. Yes, Elliot, what are your thoughts on calendars?
I'm just thank you for illuminating the technological idea that I could change that on my, let's say, Google Calendar.
Are you changing it?
I just did.
For it to start on Monday.
Yeah, because
you like it.
Well, because to me, the Saturday Sunday is what I want to see together. I could just easily start on Saturday and it would be fine. But
you know what? I'm with you too. That I want to see those two days together.
That's the weekend, baby.
It's
the freaking weekend, baby. It's about to have some fun.
And back when I started standing up comedy, it was the record store had it for one reason. Standing up comedy had it because very often you worked Thursday through Sunday, and so. That was it. To repeat that for the fourth time, I thought it was necessary to repeat that.
Let me tell you more about Spanish.
Jesus Christ!
That
guy sits down with a tapas. Fucking taco. I said taco. He says tapas. Either way, we're going with a T. Delicious food. Mm-hmm. We welcome you in. The letter is L. We'll go around the horn in a little bit. Pre-show, everybody was looking at the World Wide Web to try to find an answer.
Yeah, I was struggling, man. I couldn't think of a horror or sci-fi movie that started with L.
You know what? Here's the thing, and I told you this off the air. I don't remember if I put this down as number one, number three. I don't even know how many I have. Only one came to mind, and I don't know if I put it at number one. I know that sounds weird because maybe I found another one that was like, oh, that's better.
Yeah,
but only one came to mind, and.
It's
not a good one. It's not a good movie.
Okay.
Hint.
I feel like I lost track. I've said this before, like, especially when after Zoe was born, I lost track of a lot of movies. Like, I was very up on movies in the 90s and into the early 2000s for the most part. And then actually, honestly, it started with getting more into the comedy scene in LA. I was more into going to comedy shows than going to movies. And so that was the beginning of me not paying as much attention, and then having kids even more so. And as I was looking through this list, I was like, oh, yeah, there's a bunch of movies that I recognize the name of it, but I never would have thought of it because it's just in that window of time where I'm like, I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
Didn't really care. Some of them are good movies. I should go back and watch them. I sometimes think to myself, let's make the list and then just work our way through all the things that I kind of slept on.
Give me an example of one movie.
Interstellar. Never saw it.
Yeah, I never saw that either.
It's good.
Is that a what's-his-name movie?
Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
Nolan and All Right, All Right, All Right, right?
Yeah, Matthew McConaughey.
I think my son loves that movie.
There's like five movies that are, to me, I don't know which is Annihilation, Interstellar, Arrival. Like they could all be the same movie. I don't even know. Like they seem like they're all the same, but I gather that there's different actors in them and different things happen.
Believe it or not, no, it's not. It's like a sitcom. They're all the same actors.
Jesus.
And
so if I watch one, then I'm going to want to watch the
or not, or it'll satiate your need.
I will say that Arrival and Interstellar feel like they've got the same cinematographer or something. Like. They're not, but it's like the color grading and everything.
Did they come around the same time, too?
I'm not sure.
Is that Amy Adams?
Yeah.
Arrival. Gary, you're our movie guy. You're our in-house movie guy. You're being, to quote myself, suspiciously quiet on this.
I've seen all three of those films.
Thank you, Karen.
They're all
what
good.
Can you tell us about them?
Interstellar is, I think, the first one.
What about Inception? Where's that fall into this? That's another Christopher Nolan that begins with the letter I.
These are all vowel starting titles.
They are.
Yeah. 2010 for Inception, 2014 for Interstellar.
What about Arrival?
2016.
All right.
And Annihilation is 2018.
I don't know. What's Annihilation?
Natalie Portman.
It's like they go into a big blob of dimensional.
Oh, that's like the rainbow look in the trailer.
Yeah. Yes, who didn't see that? Any guesses?
You.
I didn't see it, yeah.
But somebody, who made that? Was that Alex Garland?
Yes, I believe it was.
What about the Beverly Garland Hotel? You ever go there, Garen?
I don't think I have.
Oh, you've never been there?
I don't think I have.
They used to have a delicious brunch. I don't know if they do anymore.
I'm not familiar with it. Where is it?
You've driven past it a million times. No, it's right on the... Is it on Tahunga? Or is it on Vineland?
It's up here. It's in the valley.
It's in Studio City, I want to say.
Yeah, okay.
The Beverly Garland. It probably was a Holiday Inn at one point.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. That's been converted into something else now, but it is...
Is that true?
I think so. I think
Garland.
The Garland,
yeah. Now it's just called the Garland.
It's Universal Studios Hotel now.
Yeah. So it's still a hotel.
Yeah.
Vineland, that's to answer your question.
Thank you, Garen. That's where Walter's pre-Hollywood star dinner/roast was held.
Yeah.
Because the Beverly Garland was, at one time, like, they would hold events there. Like,
nice.
It's also exciting when you see Beverly Garland show up in movies.
Yeah.
She's an actress.
Oh, it's named after a person, not like it's not just the way, like, because that's why I thought it was in Beverly Hills, because there's a lot of, you know, the Beverly Hilton, the Beverly Garland. Like, it just sounds like
it's a woman.
Okay.
And then, like, I'll watch McCloud. I don't know which one it was, but watching Mannix, you know, with special guests, so and Beverly Garland. You're like, oh, the woman whose name is on the hotel. I don't know why her name is on the hotel.
I'm looking at the Garland website right now, and you know how now we have these little chat things?
Yes.
They come up, like, we can help you, just click here. It's a blonde woman named Bev.
Oh!
So I'm guessing it must be...
How quickly do you hit the X on those fucking things? Go away.
Not especially helpful. When they're blocking the cookie thing you have to select on every website now.
Yeah, it's get out of here. I don't need your help. And if I do need your help, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the contact page and click on, hey, here's an option. You can chat with somebody live right now. Quit poking me.
Yeah. Okay, I was right. So what I was thinking of is there's a restaurant kind of attached to that called The Front Yard.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
Which is really good. And, like, it's one of those places, like, if you try to go there on a Sunday, you're going to be waiting a while. But I took my mom there for brunch one time, and it turns out, if they don't have any seating, you can go. There's tables by the hotel swimming pool that you can get food off the menu from the restaurant at. And it's like, I was like, yes, let's do that. There's no wait at all. We'll just sit by the pool. It's actually nicer.
Yeah, who wouldn't want to do that?
It's great. Fantastic.
Yeah, you know, unless some kid's doing a cannonball.
Yeah, there's nobody in the pool.
Nobody splashing around?
Actually, it wasn't even the pool. It was like an area that felt like you were around a pool, but it was kind of just like a patio area. But then the pool was, there was a fence gate, and then the pool was on the other side of that. So it was almost like, did there used to be a pool here? And then you just kept the setup.
Think they, Beverly Garland said it was afraid of water. So they
maybe
concreted it over,
cemented it over. Very, very possible.
I looked at that venue when we were looking for new places for Parcastathon because Acme was, for whatever reason, we were leaving Acme size wise. And I think there were some other things going on with the building. But I looked at Beverly Garland because of Walter's thing. And I believe it was not cost effective. I believe the Beverly Garland name means a lot more to them than it does to me.
And didn't you also look at the Sportsman's Lodge?
I did. That was crazy. They were in the middle of converting to what they are now.
Yeah.
And so the one room they had available, didn't really fit our purposes. Also, they wanted... I'm Universal Studios asking to host an event.
Yeah, it was exorbitant.
Yeah, or a wedding. Like, no, this is for charity.
Right. I think that's the thing in my head. I've over the years always confused the Garland with the Sportsman's Lodge because they're both sort of just north of Ventura or on Ventura, but just south of the 101 or whatever.
In between.
Yeah, it's sort of confusing. They're in similar positions to those two major things.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you drive past both of them now, it will not confuse you anymore because the Sportsman's Lodge does not look... It used to look quaint and nice, and you'd walk by through. There was a little garden you'd walk through, and all of that's been...
Well, now it's like there's like a mall.
Yeah.
Like, they took half of it and made it a mall.
Yeah, they're doing it the whole goddamn city, the whole goddamn country.
Yeah.
Which our president has taken on Bruce Springsteen. He's
good.
I don't know if you guys have seen the clips of Bruce Springsteen opening his show in, I believe it's the U.K., I will tell you this on this very he's got three different times where he addresses what's going on in our country.
Mm-hmm.
One of them brought me to tears. One of them gave me chills, and one of them was just outstanding. Mm-hmm. It was he's a poet at the end of the day. He's a singer songwriter poet, and so he eloquently could. He's talking about what's happening here in the States, and then but calls Trump out for being evil, and what he's doing is evil, and he's hurting people, and then Trump obviously got wind of it, and called him a no talent jerk. I'm paraphrasing. Says his face is withering or something, and
atrophied.
Atrophied. His face is atrophied.
He didn't know that word. He doesn't know that.
He doesn't. Right.
It's so funny when he criticizes someone who is inarguably a fucking genius,
and they call and calls him a no talent.
Yeah,
it's like
when you
dude,
you have no credibility.
You've lost it.
When it's like saying Pavarotti can't sing. You sound like a fucking moron.
You know what, Matt? I'm not a fan of Pavarotti.
Yeah,
but and because in my opinion he can't sing. But I take your point. No, you're right. I thought the same thing. It's like if you want to write that, if you want to defend yourself, let's pretend that like. If you just leave out the part about him not being talented, because you look like a fucking idiot.
It's not even relevant.
Right.
But everyone just accepts that that's how he handles his shit. And everyone who supports him, I guess, is just like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so now you got to fucking... You're living your whole life by, like, if you agree with this insane person's policies... then you're great, and if you don't, you suck, and you're bad at what you do for a living. Like, it makes no sense. There's no logic to that.
And then out of nowhere, you attack Taylor Swift again.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Because Irma literally just texted me a quote from Rolling Stone.
All right, so here's the quote. This is what he said today about Taylor Swift.
Has anyone noticed that since I said I hate Taylor Swift, she's no longer hot?
Or maybe she doesn't have a new album out, and she's on a tour anymore, you dumb fuck.
And also, like, does he know, and is he trolling her fans so that he can get their attention? Is that his deal?
No.
Or does he not realize what's about to happen?
Yeah, I think he literally thinks he won.
I think I'm with Matt. I think he thinks, she's not in the news right now, so she clearly isn't popular anymore. Yeah. Dude, if she announced a tour tomorrow, they all sell out. Mm-hmm. You dumb old fucking man, die.
She also just, I don't know when they tabulated, so maybe this isn't new news, but... You know, they all the like record sales and streams when they put it all together and weighed it for whatever. She's the most popular artist in the world for three straight years.
That's not a surprise.
Yeah.
No. Somebody also made on Twitter pointed out, not Twitter, Blue Sky. They looked up his followers on Instagram and Twitter and then Truth Social and hers, and she dwarfs him.
Yeah.
Like, is that the phrase? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, what?
I'm sorry. She little persons him.
I don't know. That sounds more offensive, quite frankly. Bottom line, he's wrong again.
Yeah.
And he looks foolish because he's a dumb. And also, he's doing this from the Middle East, where he should be maybe focusing on anything else but pop culture. You fucking buffoon.
Either he should be focusing on American policy, which is what we would like a president to do, or he should be focusing on his graft.
Which he's, I mean, that's the thing. Even that is half-assed. Like,
right?
He's doing it, but he's doing it in such a weird way. Like, do you see the thing where he's, like, talking to the Sheikh Mohammed? Who's the leader of Saudi Arabia?
The young fella. They have an abbreviation
for his
name. Is he
a prince? Is he a king? I don't know what his title is.
He's a prince still. I'm not sure.
Anyway, he's... He's literally just like, how do you sleep at night? And it's like, but he's like trying to compliment him, but it ends up sounding like you're saying the thing you're not supposed to say.
Yeah.
But he's saying like, oh, you're doing so great. Everything's wonderful. Everything's so great here. How do you sleep at night? Yeah, how does he sleep at night? Because he executes fucking journalists. Like, that's the fucking real thing that's happening.
Now take your plane, dickhead.
Yeah.
What an asshole. What an asshole.
Did you see?
What's up, Garen? Oh, here's our movie guy.
Garen's here.
When he showed up.
Did I see Annihilation? No, I did not.
No. How they had all the women lined up just shaking their hair like that. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying. It's
Yes, I did see
when
that.
When Trump arrived, they thought he loves women. Let's have our women lined up. Don't they usually wear, I don't know if they wear
hijab or something
or whatever,
like that.
But just they're just going like this and their hair is just flipping back and forth. I'm like, what is this supposed to be? It's terrifying.
That is creepy.
It's like
it is creepy.
20 women lined up on either side of him and he's just walking between them and they're just shaking. It looks like a horror movie.
When you think about how like it, I guess I don't, again, like I'm not that familiar with like which countries and which specific cultures do what, but generally in the Middle East women are supposed to cover their hair.
If,
and
if you're Islamic, then that is a preferred option, sometimes required in some countries,
right? So think about that, think about being in that culture. That's what we do. We think women should cover everything, but when this guy comes to town, here comes that would be like someone coming here and basically like having women topless.
I was kind of
listening.
I thought that too.
Isn't it kind of? I mean, I don't think that's the reason why you do it
that way, though, is that you think it's like a sexy thing,
right? But that's just super weird to be like, here are our women, enjoy their hair.
It's super weird. And one of the late night hosts did say this, but when I heard that he went out of his way to make sure that this plane from Qatar, I guess, is the way we're supposed to say it, because I thought it was Qatar for a while. I don't know. But
as our president told us, there's five different ways to say it, and they're all okay. I guess they must like me.
But
I don't know what that voice was. I admit it wasn't close.
It wasn't bad. You're being too harsh.
He went to a lot of trouble to make sure that he gets this plane after he leaves office.
Right. Which is the most problematic part of this whole thing.
But it's also the most hopeful part because he's thinking about leaving office.
He
doesn't want to work, and he worked very hard to get this plane for him.
But he can have two contradictory thoughts and not be intellectually rigorous enough to realize there's a conflict with them. I'm going to be president forever, and I want this plane when I'm done. What?
Right. Yeah.
Still, let me have my hope, Matt.
I like the positive spin on it, but I don't know.
It will. There's no doubt about it. It will be a party. It will be a party.
Yeah.
I should say
a party in the USA.
Yeah.
Jimmy. That hair flipping dance is a traditional dance there.
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
So, apologies for calling it creepy, but it did not look.
No, it still was odd.
Off-putting to me. Mm-hmm. But it is a traditional heritage day.
Huh. All right, thank you, Garen, for fact checking that in real time. We were fact checking in real time.
I find that fascinating that's a tradition in a culture where they don't want people to show any part of their.
Well, but in that, I mean, I don't. This may be like a westernization of something, but I believe the Dance of the Seven Veils is a real thing, mm-hmm. and they also had that. So,
No, I didn't see the first six dances. Can I?
It's in the UAE, COVID. Unlike some nearby countries, women are not required by law to cover their hair. That gives them the freedom to take part in performances like the Ayala, where flipping long hair is a big part of the dance.
And that's where that was that you saw it?
Yes.
Okay. Why are we ignoring the fact that they might just be Willow Smith fans? Why is that
that's
something
a really good point.
That we're ignoring?
Yeah. And obviously they know Trump is such a huge fan of hers.
Will Smith, he likes that he handles his business.
Right.
That's what Trump probably sides with him. You know that.
Except Trump would never stand up for his wife in any capacity. And that's like that. That's
but
the
he
one
likes,
thing.
He likes a strong
he
man,
likes
though.
He likes a strong, you know, like just resorting to some violent thing instead of being an adult. But yeah, if someone insulted Melania, he'd be like, he's tough.
He's tough. Some people. Let me ask you guys a question. It made me think because my brain connected the dots here. I'm not just jumping complete topics. Remember when Chris Rock hosted the Oscars and he did this whole thing about Jude Law? And then when Sean Penn got up there, He chastised.
Yes.
If our, and he just said our host.
Right.
You know, I'll tell you who Jude Law is. He's one of the greatest actors of our, you know, of this generation.
Yeah.
Just not getting the humor at all of mm-hmm. what Chris Rock was doing. Yeah. So, and by the way, I think Sean Penn says some great things as well.
Mm-hmm.
I do think he's humorless.
In that context, it was like, boy, you're just taking a thing that was supposed to be a fun joke and...
That happened 2.5 hours earlier, right. too. That's the yeah. other thing. Well, he was recently on a podcast.
Okay.
And so he's on the podcast, and he's smoking. And they allowed... They made the concession to have him on that they would allow him to smoke. To which then I thought, would I do that? If Sean Penn's people came to us and said, you got a chance to have Sean Penn on, but... He's kind of, they wouldn't use these words. I'm going to use these words. He's kind of an asshole, and he's going to insist on smoking,
yeah.
and that's a deal breaker. Would you do it? Now, listen, I'm going around the horn.
Okay.
Yeah. Where do you guys land on that? Sean Penn's going to be here Monday.
Where do I land, or where do I think you land?
Where do you land?
Okay.
In this room.
My initial thing was like, fuck no, but now that, like, I feel like you have to do it.
In this room.
I don't like it. I'm allergic. I'm literally allergic to cigarette smoke. I would have to take something to try to not be sneezing and having my eyes red and watering the whole time. But it's Sean Penn. And again, he has no sense of humor. It probably wouldn't be that good, but I still feel like he's literally, I think, the greatest actor of our generation.
Hmm.
Is he?
You think he's better than Gene Hackman?
Well, that's not my generation.
I don't know if Sean Penn's your generation.
Well, he's generally.
I would say Jude Law is more yours.
He's Gen X.
All right. So you would allow this booking.
I would say it's worth the discomfort to have Sean Penn on the show. Yeah.
Elliot.
I don't think I'm in. I think it would be actually just him talking a bunch. I think that
I'm only interrupting you to say this.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what he says. It's all about the smoking.
Okay, fair. Well, no, but I'm sure I've got a way. Cross benefit.
You're saying like you're taking into account how good of an episode is it going to
yeah.
be? I kind of am not. I'm kind of like I don't really because I acknowledge he's not going to be fun.
He's and he might be a blowhard.
Of 100%.
Oh, he's a low talking, slow talking blowhard. Yes.
See, to me, I would be more likely to say, well, let's rent a studio for that purpose because here's the thing too. So I don't like smoke. You don't like smoke. Danielle doesn't like smoke. She works in here, and I just don't see how we ever get it out because it's not just that. Maybe if you could leave all the doors open, maybe that would work, but. It's then that's this room is ruined.
I Garen, your thoughts.
That seems extreme.
two and a half hours of.
Yes, that seems crazy. I would be fine. If it's Sean Penn, yes.
Right,
let him smoke a couple cigarettes. It's,
A couple.
You think he's going to be here chain smoking? One
yes,
after
for
the
an
other?
Hour. For an hour and a half.
Yeah.
How many minutes does it take to finish a cigarette? Is 15?
I don't know.
10? I have no clue.
With that thing...
Yeah, we crank up the...
Stones that are around? I think it would
We get fun. One of those ashtrays that I, sucks the
That would definitely be a requirement.
And, yeah.
All right, well, it's coming in Monday.
Oh.
And that is not happening, of course. I'm with you. It's a no way.
Okay.
I would say we would have to rent someplace.
Yeah.
And just suck up that it's going to cost us $500 to rent the studio for a day, because I'm with you. It ain't coming out of these walls.
It'll always be.
It'll always be here.
If it's just a little bit, because it's going to be in each one of
and
the
I
canvases.
Can't stand
all of this stuff on the
stale
wall.
Stale smoke is the worst.
Yeah.
And I'm with Matt. I think we're all allergic to it to a degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be sick for 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
Especially in this small room. So. It was driving, like I was, again, this isn't happening, right? But I was, you know, home alone with COVID, isolated in my room.
Thinking about stuff.
By the way, I came home on Sunday. No, that's a lie. I came home on Saturday from my trip in Columbus. I have not hugged my son since I've been home because he has prom tomorrow, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to even risk him missing prom because his you know his old man has to shake a, you have somebody tell him he's great after a show. but anyway, I'm alone in a room, and I saw that it was just so I just kept going like would I because I'm with you. It's fun, man. How the fuck do you not? But also, I don't want to walk in here for the next year and smell stale smoke.
Here's the
also fuck you. You cannot smoke.
That's the other thing is like. If we let him do it, he comes in, he sees us all fucking coughing and like sneezing and having our eyes watering. And he's just like, yep. Yeah, that's your fucking problem. Like, then it's just kind of like, what a fucking weird way to, I don't know. But I, here's a weird paradox, maybe not a paradox, but, I don't think it's worth $500 to have Sean Penn on their show. Like I wouldn't, if you just said you can have Sean Penn on the show, if you spend $500, I'd be like, why would I spend that money? It does. It's a waste.
Really?
He's not going to get us $500 back in added listenership.
Would he not?
No.
Yeah. I don't think so.
No one gives a shit like that. That's, he's not like a huge get
to me.
He is, but he isn't. You know what I mean?
I do.
If you have Sean Penn, to me, that ends up being a Jimmy Sean Penn conversation and not the show, which is fine.
Right.
But then do it at his house or something.
Yeah, you can almost just do that separate, and then we just kind of do the first part of the show here.
And then we throw to it.
And then we go, and now Sean Penn, and then it's a one-on-one, and you guys did it in a fucking park outside so he could smoke.
I welcome that.
I mean, honestly, if you got him, we'd be like, well, here's the thing with our podcast. We record in a parking lot, and he doesn't have to know that we never
do. On a Sunday morning.
That's he doesn't have to know that it's not the normal way of doing
There's
it.
There's our answer.
Yeah. There's a solution.
There's our solution. We do it on a Sunday morning in the parking lot. That's our hook.
Yeah. We do these special episodes every once in a while where it's Sunday in the park with Jimmy.
Oh, I like that. That's not
something,
a bad idea.
Sunday in the parking lot with Jimmy?
Hey, that's fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Now I'll reach out to these people. I forgot about the parking lot concept.
It was a bit of a pain in the ass, but we made it work.
Yeah.
Did you listen to that?
No.
I'd be curious to know what he's willing and open about to discuss.
Hmm.
Like, would he go deep into his career? Would he talk about working with all these legends that he's worked with?
Would he talk about Madonna?
Or does he just talk world affairs? Because he's one of those guys that loves to talk. I don't have a problem with this when I say one of these guys, but it seems like he'll talk about that, and then you go, hey, Fast Times. I could see him putting up a hand.
Right.
To
it. Yeah. Right.
That was a long time ago.
He seems like the kind of guy who his PR people be like, here are the topics that he will not discuss.
Yeah.
The thing about
it's everything we would want to talk about with it. Yeah.
Like, when's the last time you heard him talk about me, you know, about Fast Times or Dead Man Walking or any of his great performances?
I was trying to remember. Didn't he do something during lockdown? I know they did that Fast Times read thing.
They did. And did he play Mr. Hand?
He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
I think so.
I think so.
So he's
they had someone else doing Spicoli.
He was like Dane.
No, Dane was like the one who organized it, I think. But who was doing Spicoli? I remember he was in a car. Like he was on Zoom, but in his car in a garage.
Well, then who did Dane play Judge Reinhold?
I don't remember.
I mean, I know he organized it, but he's also not going to take a small role.
Right. Yeah. No, for sure. I can't.
And by the way, I don't know the real answer to this because I wouldn't spend 1 second of my life watching that.
Yeah, it was someone weird like Timothy Chalamet was like Spicoli, I feel like.
It might have been. That's a good call.
Karen, help us.
I'm trying to find the actual cast, like who they all played.
It was an amazing group of people.
Yes. And then I watched a little bit of it and was like, this sucks. Like, it was not technically, like, they did not do a good enough job. I know that's difficult to do. And there were a lot of those things during lockdown, and some of them worked better than others. That was one that I felt mostly did not work.
Dane Cook was Mark Ratner. Shia LaBeouf was Jeff Spicoli.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you said, some weirdo in a car.
Yeah.
Ray Liotta was Mr. Hand.
Oh, then was Sean Penn involved at all?
Guess not.
He did something.
I thought he was too.
Or maybe he did some other thing.
I guess not.
Was that before? I'm saying this for humor, by the way. Was that before Ray Liotta died? When did he?
I think it killed him.
Yeah.
You think this killed him? Yeah. Just the boredom of waiting in a square on Zoom. When you know what?
This
is what's happening in my career. Yeah. I'm out.
I see where this is going.
He doesn't seem to be part of that.
I thought that I would have bet $1 million he was part of that.
So what was there was one with like Brad Pitt.
What was that one?
Was Brad Pitt in that?
With Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston was in this one.
Okay. Oh.
Jennifer Aniston, Dane Cook, Henry Golding, Morgan Freeman, Jimmy Kimmel, Shia LaBeouf, Ray Liotta, John Legend, Matthew McConaughey, Brad Pitt, Julie Roberts.
So that is the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, Johnny McCarthy.
Oh, was Johnny in that?
He plays the unknown, uncredited. I don't know what that even means. It's like a ghost.
Maybe that's Sean Penn and he's using an unassumed name.
Oh! No, you might be right.
It says that Sean Penn was somehow involved.
His bio was in the first person.
Who, Johnny's?
Johnny McCarthy. I was born in the Bronx and will probably die there.
Oh, my God.
Johnny!
I moved to Jersey when I was 12 and am back there now. I've seen a lot and done a lot more. I am most known for being unknown. I like it that way. Too much to tell by the book.
It's weird when you're reading a bio on IMDb and you realize the person clearly wrote it themselves, but even though it's not in the first person. But, like I was looking at Zero Mostel has a son who is in some things.
Josh Mostel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has a very interesting career.
He was in, Josh Mostel was in Jesus Christ Superstar.
Right. He plays King Herod in Jesus Christ Superstar. He's in Sophie's Choice, I think. And then he's the pervy principal in Billy Madison.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. And so it's just like a fascinating career. And then I was looking, for some reason, I wound up on his IMDb and I was reading the thing. And it basically said, like, well, he's probably not so proud of da-da-da. And it wasn't Billy Madison, but it was something else that he did that wasn't good. But okay, he's can take more pride in some other roles. Like, oh, he wrote this. Like, who else would write that about him? Like, no one's going to take that on. Like, imagine what if you're Josh Mostel, how do you feel about these projects? Like, no one.
But let's be fair. Strangers don't write those. PR people do.
Yeah, but.
So if he, and then you approve it.
I guess that's probably true. Well, I guess I never understood. I think I originally thought that, yeah, it was like Wikipedia where like someone was writing it who had no connection to it. Then I realized at a certain point, no, it's the person or their people are doing it.
You pay $149 a year to have that.
But if you didn't do it and you're a big star, someone at IMDb would do it, right? Like if you're Brad Pitt.
No, your team does it for you. You have a team of publicists and lawyers and they do all that. That's what you're paying them,
but even
$10,000 a month to do.
Yeah, but I just feel like for the site, it's not a good look for the site if that thing is left blank for a huge star, right? So like, if the celebrity's just like, I don't give a fuck.
Sean, what's up, man? Good to see you.
Oop. Okay. Sean Penn was in that thing.
He was in the Zoom.
Yes, he was in the Zoom,
but he did not read.
Was he a narrator? What was
I don't know. No. There's a bunch of names that are not included on the IMDb page that everybody loves so much.
To be fair, that is far from a real project. Like, that's not a movie or a TV show. It's just some fucking
apparently
Zoom.
Morgan Freeman read the stage directions.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But then what was Sean Penn doing?
I don't know.
Just hanging out.
Just hanging out, but not wanting to participate. He's good friends with Dane Cook.
You guys want to watch it? I got it right here.
I made that up.
Okay. I was going to say that.
No, Garen, I do not want to watch that. I don't want to watch one second of it.
But the article that I was glancing over says that they had Jennifer Aniston and Brad Pitt. Like, Brad Pitt kind of, he plays the character who, in the movie, was fantasizing about Phoebe Cates. So they had Brad Pitt fantasizing about Jennifer Aniston's character, and like people were like, oh, what's the look on her face gonna be, blah 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 blah.
Remember that.
The look on her face is gonna be, hey, I dated this guy 25 years ago.
Yeah,
pardon me, 30 years ago.
Oh, well, they were married.
Were they married?
Yeah.
At any rate,
right,
they were a couple. All right, let's pretend they were.
Yeah,
they were a couple 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And just because the tabloids keep saying they're getting back together, they're not. And then they ran into, they see each other on a Zoom.
Right.
Hi, Brad. Hi, Jen. Now we're going to work.
Also, why do we all assume that, I mean, I know that he cheated on her with Angelina Jolie, so there may be some bad blood. I understand that part of it. But ultimately, I think most people get to a point in life where they're just, like my parents, they get to a point where they're like, they're friendly with each other. There's no big deal.
Civil, I think, is the
civil,
word
you're
looking
for. Even actually, my parents have moved beyond civil, which is kind of amazing and I think is great. But people, it's like the past is the past, and you go like, hey, yeah, we used to, like, you probably still have some warm feelings for that person because you liked them enough to commit your life to them at some point, right?
I used to have a thing with him. It's right in that song by Dire Straits that the Indigo Girls did, that Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah.
I don't know if my family went as I would say civil is where
yeah.
my when my dad would come out to visit, when my mom lived here, mm-hmm. and my dad would come out to visit, and there would be like Oliver's birthday party. They were friendly with each other, mm-hmm. But I wouldn't say anything more than civil.
Yeah. This is pretty recent that I feel like that's the way it was with my parents for many, many years. And I feel like just in the last year or two, they've sort of been a little bit more friendly, but I don't know. They're fucking.
Oh, jeez. Oh, good for them. That's more than friendly. You know what? They did it once. They produced a...
Yeah, look at the results.
Oh, boy, why would they go back to that? Let's count our blessings. We don't have to procreate anymore, the two of us.
Mm. Sean Penn played the pizza guy.
Oh,
the Taylor Negron role.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's not how you say his name, by the way. Taylor Negron. You want Arayalak? No, you all. You don't want carpet. You want Arayalak. Nice man. Taylor Negron. Very nice.
Maybe the best. Is that the, like, if you had to, I haven't seen it in years, but if you went back and watched the movie Punchline, what most people consider an abysmal recreation of the world of stand-up comedy.
Yes.
What is the best, because there are real comics in it, and Taylor Negron's one of them. What's the best pure stand-up moment in it? I think it might be him.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. I think it's...
That's the thing I remember.
It's the thing it may be that and the, oh, I'm having a Tom Hanks-style meltdown.
Right.
Are the two things.
Right.
There is the very nice moment with John Goodman when Sally Fields comes home with what is her horrible haircut, and he... You know, it lovingly says it. No, it looks great. It looks great. But that's just beautiful acting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that wonderful moment.
Two good actors, yeah.
And then there's the meltdown. But when you're talking about standing up comedy, that moment, because you've also got Pam Madison, who's since passed away, Max Alexander. Jesus Christ, they're all dead. Pam Madison's gone. Mm-hmm. Max Alexander's gone. Taylor Negron's gone. Those were the big three.
Who was the kid who then was on MTV? He was a pretty good comic.
Was he the guy that was...
He was Anthony Clark-esque, but it wasn't Anthony Clark. It was like he hosted some game show. He might have hosted Lip Service on MTV.
Not the one that was also the consultant for Tom Hanks.
Barry Sobel.
Barry's still with us.
Yeah. I don't remember. I think at the time, seeing that movie, I was like, he seemed like a good comic to me. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
I will tell you this. You know, we're 30 years past this now, whatever.
40 maybe. 40,
yeah. At the time, as a young comedian or an aspiring comedian, I loved Barry Sobel.
Yeah.
Now, if I watch, again, I'm with you. If I watched it today, would I go, what the fuck was I thinking? Right. Or would I go, no, I was right. He's great. He was, I will say this about Barry Sobel, because he's friends with, and I don't know if they still are, but he and Dave Holmes were friends. That's how I met Dave Holmes. Huh. Barry Sobel thought I was great, brought Dave Holmes to see me at the Improv.
Yeah.
I did not know that. And then I ran to Dave Holmes, says hello to me at Amoeba, and says, I'm Dave Holmes. I'm friends with Barry Sobel. In fact, he just dragged me to see, not dragged me, he just brought me to see you. Mm-hmm. At the end, I was like, oh, and it was like, that's how I found out about it. Like, well, that's very flattering that Barry Sobel.
Yeah.
So the very few times that I've been with Barry, and I mean very few, he is funny in the bones. Barry Sobel.
Yeah, I always liked him. He just had I liked his vibe kind of, and he was young. I think that was part of it. It was like in the late 80s, the boom time of stand up. A lot of guys seemed like they were in their 30s, and to me that seemed like so old. Mm-hmm. You know, like Tim Allen seemed, and Jerry Seinfeld. They all seemed old to me. Barry Sobel was like 20.
He's a young guy.
It was like him and Adam Sandler, they were like kids doing it. And it was like, it just felt different. It was like, oh, this is closer to me.
Right.
And I can sort of relate to them in a different way.
Barry Sobel had the whole bit where he was basically calling out bigotry, but pointing out the accuracy. Fine. Asian. He didn't say Asian, but fine. Asian people aren't bad drivers. Fine. Yeah. Jewish people are good tippers. Fine. And which, again, I don't know if that bit would fly today.
Right.
But at the time, it was very, very funny.
Now I want to go back and watch. I bet you can find that on YouTube, like some old half-hour comedy hour or Caroline's type thing.
Yeah, no question.
Or just even him in Punchline. I'm sure he does some of his own material in the movie.
He does. And Tom Hanks basically is doing an impression of,
right.
You know, of Barry Sobel.
Isn't the thing like in the movie? Am I right about this, or is this wrong? Like the way I remember it, like Barry Sobel, his character in the movie is like he made it.
He made it. He's the big
and yeah. so like and and Hanks's character is trying to like follow in his footsteps, and he, and like that. And so then he comes back to host the showcase thing, where,
or he's the special judge, I
something.
Think.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They don't, and the other judges don't like him,
right? And the whole movie is like kind of hinges on like this is Hanks's big shot. Like he's whatever it is, the Tonight Show bookers or whoever's in the crowd, and he absolutely fucking melts down.
Yeah,
and it's one of the most painful scenes in movie history, honestly, to me. And I don't like it, I didn't do like I wasn't a stand-up comedian and watching it, I just as a human being I was like, this is unbearable. I mean, it was like they did a good job of capturing how horrific that
part they captured very accurately.
Yeah, the rest of the movie kind of basically sucks, right? But like that was,
I didn't hate it.
I mean, I don't think I did either, because I was so interested in comedy. But like when you think about it, I'm like, it was just a weird endpoint to make a movie about that, to have this. Basically, it's like the Roseanne story. It's like a mm-hmm. housewife starts. She wants to try comedy. She kind of does it behind her husband's back. And then she sort of. She didn't really have a fling with Tom Hanks, right? But there's something between them.
There's
tension.
There's tension.
Yeah.
A comedic crush.
Yeah.
Be the best way to put it. Again, I didn't dislike it. I didn't understand the hatred for it at the time when it came out. People were very mad that there were lockers.
People talked about those lockers for years.
I remember
years.
That.
But at the same time, it's like, you know what? Just because the green room that you're in doesn't have a light, like, it's still just a green room.
I feel like, by the way, I think I heard that at the time, and the improv club that I did stuff at, which was, you know, like sketch and improv, they had lockers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know who else did? The Laugh Factory had lockers.
There you go.
So the anger at lockers, made no sense to me.
Well, a sketch and improv place makes a little more sense, because you probably have costumes.
Costumes. But you may not want to take up your keys and other crap.
If you're asking me, let's put some lockers in those green rooms. I think it's a great idea.
Maybe they were trying to start something. Like, hey, here's a good idea. Maybe other clubs will see this movie and get the
follow
point.
Suit.
As a reminder, Steve I had said, Punchline is to comedy that Flashdance is to welding.
Yeah.
Great joke. Is there a great stand-up comedy movie?
No.
Is there another stand-up comedy movie? Like, that's
the Funny People.
Oh yeah,
right. Is that
with the
Seth Rogen?
Yeah, that's the Apatow movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
Joker.
What about King of Comedy? And that's King not really the same
King
thing.
King of Comedy, but
so is it basically the '80s, early '90s version of that? What they're doing with podcasting now? That every time it shows up in a movie, it's like, oh God.
Yeah,
it's a little cringy.
That's a great way to put it, Garen.
Although I will say that show with Kristen Bell, Nobody Wants This. I was ready to be cringed out about the podcast. She and her sister have a podcast, and it's a significant part of this. It's not just like a background thing. It's like there's plot points about their business or whatever. It's not the kind of show that we do, but what they're doing, it felt very true to the way the podcast space is now. And then I found out that the whole show was based on a real woman's actual life, where she actually had a podcast. Oh. So I was like, okay, well, I guess that's why maybe it feels a little more authentic, and not just, you know, the bad version of it is like when you feel like someone just tacked it on because they're like, podcasts are hot right now, let's throw that into this script that didn't need it. And that happens.
Sex in the City reboot.
yeah Lisa's telling me about that.
Or what was the Halloween one, remember where the two kids show up?
The Halloween reboot. Yeah,
but they didn't actually show them podcasting.
Oh, that's true.
But it was just an unnecessary, like, they're podcasters. They could have been journalists. They could have been anything. Radio, like
this
NPR.
Is the hot thing, baby.
They didn't have to say that they were podcasters.
Yeah. They like in the Sex and the City, when they were doing it, it was, and it's going to sound hair cutting or whatever. They were doing a radio show. It was, the studio was a radio studio. Right. Everything about it was, they are doing talk radio. It didn't feel
like any different. Yeah, which is, I guess a lot of podcasts are like that. A lot of podcasts are coming out of radio studios and stuff. But if you're going to do that, why bother saying it's a podcast? It's like you're trying to get score points for a group that doesn't care. And
Hollywood, it's very strange that they very often miss. It's like you make movies. Why is it when you make a movie in your movie, you have things that would never happen in a movie or on a set?
Yeah.
Like, you're in the business.
I think it's because they think, well, the audience won't understand the way it really is, so we have to make up a way of that it doesn't work this way, but it'll just be easier for the audience to grasp it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it always is glaringly wrong to me.
It is. Although the studio is pretty good about that stuff.
Like, yeah, we're because of my COVID, we are not caught up.
Me neither. I think we're a week behind.
Well, I'm up to episode 3, and Irma and I have decided that it is the most stressful television show, more stressful than The Bear.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you two are wrong.
I know it's
opinion. I'm kidding.
Episode 2 was definitely extremely stressful.
Oh, there's no question it was stressful.
Yeah.
Which is that the one shot?
The one shot. Yeah.
I think it's a joy.
That was, yeah, that was, because that was the thing where you like, you knew the whole time they're going to fuck this up. And like,
you're just anticipating
just
how.
You're just waiting for it. There was one. Oh, God. The last one I watched, the Golden Globes one. Did you watch that one?
No.
Okay. So you're, you're two behind.
What? The Golden Globes one. Did I see that one?
We don't know, Jimmy.
Only you can answer that.
No, I didn't, because, we're going to be...
Oh, because you were out of town.
I was out of town, so we are two behind.
Yeah, so you're two behind. Okay, never mind.
So what? Because we're up to episode 3, where it's the Ron Howard movie.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's good funny in there, but it is also stressful watching these people not say the thing that they need to say.
The whole show, there is that, which a lot of... comedies that I like do this, but there's a lot of, oh, please don't fucking do what you're doing, you know. Mm-hmm. What I mean, like, there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
But that's also where the humor comes from.
Let's make a list for Jimmy. He's got to get a hug.
Yeah.
Catch up on the studio.
You gotta watch two studios, a John Oliver
and Poker Face. Mm-hmm. Is back.
Yeah,
and, I haven't started yet.
No, we haven't either.
Excited.
And The Amazing Race were one behind because of maybe two behind.
I'm like 7 behind. It's probably over at this point, isn't it?
The new season?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay.
Next week will probably be the end.
I think we just saw the Mormon couple get kicked off. That's how far behind we are. Sorry if that's a spoiler for anyone who was even further behind than me.
Once they left Indonesia, we were out.
Is that right? You only care about things that you're familiar with?
I mean, that seems like I did not care about The Amazing Race at all. And then because it was in Indonesia, we watched that. I think we got to what was the next country?
Italy? Spain?
Maybe it was Spain.
I forget where they went after that.
I'm trying to remember, too.
Yesterday was the finale.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
There you go.
Oh, because that's interesting, because they said you've made it to the penultimate episode. So, all right.
You may be two behind on that.
I think we watched last week's. We watched some things, and we synced our viewing.
Wait, did those come out on Sundays? No,
those are Wednesdays or Thursdays.
Wednesdays, yeah.
They dropped 2 episodes of Hacks this week, by the way, in case you guys didn't realize.
Well, then I'm behind on that, too.
I don't know why they did that.
Oh, then we're behind on that, too.
Yeah, I was surprised. Unless I missed a week somehow, but I don't
think
I did.
Yeah, you missed a week. That's what it is.
I didn't see it this past Sunday, either, so.
Has anyone in the room watched Dark, the German sci-fi? That's on Netflix?
No.
No.
It's real good. It's complicated. It's a time travel thing. And I'll just put it this way. I'm not sure why the director is so obsessed with incest.
Okay.
Oh, now I'll watch it. Because you lost me at sci-fi.
Yeah, that's fine.
What'd you say?
I said I've heard it's best.
Somebody said that at one point.
Somebody did say that.
And then somebody wrote it down and shared it with other people.
Yeah.
And then it became a thing.
And then sometimes, other people bought a shirt.
Sometimes when something rhymes, it's just too good to leave on the
Johnny Cochran won a case because of it.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's absolutely true. Elise and I flew through the new Tina Fey show, The Four Seasons.
You watched that right? No, I have not.
I enjoyed it. Really liked it.
Episode 3 is the episode I think that.
Yeah, it does start pretty slow. Honest, I agree.
It's not that it's slow. It just the vibe of it or something is. I don't even know how I tried to explain this on How to Survive. It was weird to me. It felt trite, or it felt something.
You know what I thought? I thought it's,
cutesy, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's. If you're like going and thinking like, okay, it's the people who did 30 Rock, it's not joke heavy that way at all, which I actually was appreciative of eventually. But initially, the thing I got from it from the first episode was this is very clearly a person who doesn't have to convince the Netflix or whoever, the network studio, whatever you want to call it, they don't have to convince anybody of anything when they're pitching something. It's not, you know, like most people when they write something, they're like, you got to hook them early because this, don't you want to watch more? Tina Fey's like, I'm Tina Fey. I have an idea. They're like, here's the money. And so like it had that feeling of like, there was no stress or pressure of like, we got to make this good right away. And so it had that feeling of like easing into the story a little
bit
more.
But isn't it not a remake of the Alan Alda movie?
Yeah.
It's funny because when I looked at the picture, I thought it was a parody of White Lotus.
Oh.
I could see that from a photograph.
Yeah. I think a lot of people might think that.
Or
also,
maybe wanted it to be that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not about,
I mean, they do go on vacation for different seasons, but like it's not about that really.
Yeah. And it's not, as far as I've gotten, it's not heavy. It's not.
Yeah.
It's also not light. It's just a very real
like.
It might be because it's grown up. It's like a grown up show.
Yeah. It's about really people in their 50s. So their kids are grown up and they're having marital problems, and it's kind of interesting.
Episode 3 is where I got.
Give it a try.
Okay. Yeah.
I actually was going to text you and be like, hey, you're stuck in a room with COVID. You should watch this. So there are half hour episodes and there's 8 of them. You can like, we watched it in a weekend.
I'm not going to do that in a weekend. I got other things to do.
Well, you
got to
catch up on that Amazing Race. And you
got Amazing Hug.
I got to get that hug on Sunday. Sunday, I'll get that hug.
That hug is going to take up
Sunday hug.
Most of the day.
End of the week. End of the week.
End of the week hug. On my calendar.
Yep. Mine now too.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm happy you updated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks nice. Looks crisper when you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Just looks crisper. All right, let's take a break.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break.
We come back. We'll go around the horn. We'll get everybody's answer for the L movie, sci-fi horror.
Oh, and you owe me some fucking money, don't you?
Well, I don't.
The can does. Oh, you kind of do.
You have the money from some fan.
Yeah, some fan gave an extra 10. Hey, speaking of which, thank you for that. On the last episode, I could not think of it because I had COVID brain. I could not think of the girl, the women's last names that opened for me.
Yeah.
In Denver, it was Kate McLaughlin. Okay. She was great. They're all great. In Ann Arbor, it was Kate Brindle. Remember, there was two Kates.
Yeah.
And then Hannah Romas was also great in Columbus. Denver, Ann Arbor, Columbus, two Kates and a Hannah. They were all great. I appreciate them opening for me. I apologize. I cannot remember I remember their first names. Couldn't remember their last names the last we spoke. I also got an email, a lot of emails, by the way. And again, my apologies for taking forever to get back. My goal, and I've said this before, but I want to be very clear. My goal is when I get an email from you that is lengthy, I don't want to just write, hey, thanks. And so then I go, I'll write that person later. And then I never do. And so I apologize for that. So if I write just, hey, thanks, know that I meant more than that. Right. That's a good way of saying that. But I received an email from a woman who said that she, too, got COVID in Denver.
Oh, well,
now, I don't know if I got it in Denver.
Right.
But she's saying she got at the show. She got the COVID.
I just thought somewhere in Denver.
Nope. At the show, Elliot, specific to the conversation we're having.
Contextually, that makes much more sense.
Yes.
Is she kind of implying that you gave it to her?
No, because she did not stick around.
Yeah, okay.
She is saying that she, too, some filth in the room got it, gave it to her. I also got an email from Mike French. Remember recently we were saying, what happened to the Frenches? Are they still around? They're very much still around.
Great.
Lifers, they say. They're in for life.
Nice.
They love the program.
Glad to hear it.
All right. When we come back, we'll take a break. Nope. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back. We're going to do that in that order. That's the best way to do it. And we'll do all that right after this.
Hey, gang, Matt here with some dates for you. Never Not Funny is on Blue Sky and YouTube at Never Not Funny. Follow us for clips. Also, if you're on TikTok, we're now on TikTok. So look for Never Not Funny on TikTok. You can see our clips there, too. Fun stuff. Little nuggets of humor from our episodes piped into your phone. Good stuff. Jimmy Pardo is going to be doing some stand-up comedy in Plano, Texas at the Mic Drop. And Austin, Texas, The Creek in the Cave. That's May 28th and May 29th. For those two venues. And I don't know, when was the last time he was in Texas? I feel like it's been a while. So you get out there, Texas, go see him. He's doing great stuff. He's on fire. And then Salt Lake City, you get him on the 30th. Wise Guys in the Rickles Room. So go to jimmypardo.com and click the shows link for links to tickets and all that good stuff. And finally, did I mention the live stream? We're doing a live stream. Our next live stream audio episode is May 27th. You know how it works. You tune in, you listen to us doing the show as we're recording it. And We have a great guest lined up, and you can hear us chitter chatter in the breaks, all that good stuff. You might be a little surprised at the end too. We'll see how it pans out. But join us by going to nevernotfunny.com. If you're tier two or higher, you can get in on that live stream action. Matt here, interrupting myself to say this is at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time. Please note the time change. We're usually earlier, but we're doing 12:30 p.m. Pacific time on the 27th. And finally, Jimmy apologizes that the Pop Cultured had to be canceled this past week, but June 20th is the new date, so go to the Ice House in Pasadena to see Pop Cultured 9:30 p.m. show, and you can find more information. Oh, and June 7th, Flappers in Burbank. Jimmy's going to be doing another headlining set there in the Yoo-Hoo Room, I assume. Who might drop in? Who knows?
No guarantees.
No promises, no guarantees. This is what I'm being told. You could probably already hear it, but I'm repeating him. Enjoy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the program, episode 36L. Now, listen, let me throw this in the mix. I didn't say that we would open up mail, but we're going to.
Yeah. I love getting mail, but it feels like the more we open, the more we get. And so it's like a... like a bacterial infection in our office.
It is. Garrett sucks. this comes to us from... Oh, boy. Okay.
Wait a minute.
What's up?
I don't know. What does that mean?
Well, I don't want to say what it is because it gives away what's in here.
Oh, I gotcha.
There seems to be some sort of a message at the top here.
Yep.
Wrong. It's an invoice.
Okay.
It's what they call a packing slip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Sometimes they put that on the inside to confirm this is what you
kind of like the slip on a dress. You wear that on the inside of a dress.
Oh, look at these, you motherfuckers. Get ready for this. Y'all ready for this? Bum, 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 bum. This comes to us from Oreo.
From Oreo?
See, what does it say? They're Oreo?
Oh, my God.
Never not funny.
What?
What?
Oreos.
What in the actual
it's
happening
Oreo
is
Oreo ID. It says on the side, this is apparently a thing. You can custom make an Oreo.
They've got some sort of sprinkles on them.
Yeah.
They've got our logo right there in the middle.
That is incredible.
It
almost feels like we should save these.
Look at this.
Till the end of our journey. Because like we know we have at least one more Oreo to eat.
Look at that.
So is this, do we suspect that this is a standard Oreo with fancy packaging on it? Or is it a Never Not Funny flavor somehow?
They look like they're, you know how sometimes they make an Oreo where they take the Oreo and then they dip it in something?
Oh, yeah.
It's like that, right?
It doesn't look dipped because it's got...
you can see the...
It's got, you know, like I say, sprinkles all over it.
Okay.
And then you can see the... I don't want to...
You can see the middle?
It could be dipped in sprunk.
But I'm gonna agree with Matt. These will now go on the side.
That's going to be the grand finale.
That's the grand finale.
Assuming
that there ever is a grand finale.
I don't know. It seems like there's an endless supply of Oreo flavors.
You know what? I'll open up two mails because this one was so easy to open. This is wonderful.
Look
how cool that is.
I don't know who ordered that for us, but thank you.
Oh, by the way, I'm wearing my I Hate Donald Trump t-shirt. I fucking hate Donald Trump t-shirt.
Sure.
Rasha from Minneapolis sent that.
Thanks, Rasha.
Remember, I did not know who sent it in.
Rasha for real. That was her screen name, I think.
Is that right?
Sounds familiar.
Look at that. That's awesome looking. Take a look at that.
That's really cool.
Get in on that.
I can't, but...
All right. I don't know where this goes.
But, actually, probably if I grab them, I can put them on.
I guess right there for now.
It's crisp and clear, but...
All right. And then I'm going to go with the smaller of the boxes.
Yeah, there's a big one.
Save the big one for Monday. This comes to us from Austin, Texas, where I'm going to be. I'm going to be in Austin, Texas on the 29th of May, Matt.
Yeah.
The 28th, I'll be in Plano, Texas. And then on the 30th, I'll be in Salt Lake City. So I've got that tour coming up, that mini tour, I call them. I've been using a word lately. Have you guys been, when I go shopping, I call what I'm getting groceries.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's a new word I'm using. It's like what you buy.
Sure. Food. Real cheap, right?
What's that?
They're real cheap now.
They're not that cheap, to be honest with you, Garen. No.
No, I swear that I've heard that they're cheap now.
No, there was talk of them coming down.
Eggs, too. Their eggs are
bottom. Well, I don't buy eggs. You know that.
That's true.
All right, here we go. Anyway, groceries is the word I'm using.
Yeah. Didn't he also just say he invented a word?
Equalizer.
Equalizer. Right.
Equalizing.
It's this word I've invented.
Yeah, you invented a word. Did you see John Stewart's thing?
The thing.
He goes to the dictionary and he goes, there it is. It's in there.
And I saw that. And then someone else, maybe it was Kimmel, or who was it? It doesn't matter. Like, they were like, He says he came up with the word equalized, which is going to come as a shock to Queen Latifah. And yeah. then they show the like poster for
that. That's great.
That was Colbert because that's a CBS show.
Yeah.
Isn't that also a Denzel movie?
Yes. It is.
It's confusing that there are so many equalizers.
They are
now.
Connected. Are they in the same universe? The show is based on the old show, but the movie is based on the old show also, I think, right? Is that right?
Talking to the wrong guy.
I haven't
Remember,
watched
we,
any
we,
of it.
We've talked about this before, how there was an 80s or early
yeah,
90s
Yeah, I barely
show.
Enjoyed that show, so I didn't have any interest when the Queen or Will did their... Or not Will, sorry. Denzel did their...
racist.
No. You know why? What it is? It's because he was the Fresh Prince, and I was going Queen, and then...
Oh,
the
I
prince,
see what you're saying.
And, yeah.
Racist. Hey, gang. This, by the way, this was written on 6 May, 2024.
Oh, nice.
Why that person would write it
from overseas?
European style from Austin, Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Makes no sense.
No, that's maybe not cool. Yeah.
Greetings from sunny Austin, Texas, where Jimmy has either just performed or will, after receiving this quote-unquote gift, seriously consider canceling his performance. The last time I dumped a bunch of crap in your laps was way back in episode 2012, featuring the lovely and hilarious Eliza Skinner, when in some small effort to repay years of comedy, I sent in a run of my comic book, Public Relations.
Ah.
It's been truly humbling that you guys have lavished praise on the book on literally every single episode since. That's comedy. I guess what he's saying is we've never brought it up again.
Yeah.
Well, prepare for that to happen a second time, sir. Or madam. I don't know who wrote this. But come on, it's been 8 solid years. It's starting to get embarrassing. So thinking only of you, co-writer Lila Sturgis, artist Joe Eisma, and I created Student Government.
Oh.
It's a young adult graphic comic novel about a group of freaks and geeks trying to save the university they love from being destroyed. We went for a real 1980s slobs versus snobs feeling. Hmm. So if you enjoy films like Better Off Dead and One Crazy Summer, I'm going to tell you something. I did enjoy mm-hmm. those movies. And I think I'm pitching to the right room here, then hopefully you'll get a kick out of it. And as Oliver and Zoe start heading off to college, there might even be some parent/child themes here that strike a chord. Cat's cradles, all that hilarious stuff. Or if you don't like feel like reading it, guess what camp I fall in?
Nah.
I think you'll find that its flavor is indistinguishable from a Lady Gaga Oreo. I said, as I said last time, Never Not Funny sincerely means a ton to me. I've always felt like spending a few hours with, a week with friends. You guys provide much needed levity through dark times, both personal and global. This is a very small way for me to say thanks and try to return the favor. All the best, Dave Justice. Mm. And he spells that last name J-U-S, like just us.
Justice.
Like just the two of us.
Oh, not justice, like truth and justice in the American way.
How would you spell that?
J-U-S-T-I-C-E.
No. This is just us. J-U-T. Fuck me. I did it a second time. J-U-S-T. Just right. U-S. Us.
I like that.
P-S, Matt.
Okay.
Depending on which episode you open this on, I get... Oh, you know what? I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to say what he says. Because we are actually answering... We are opening this on letter L.
Oh,
he timed it.
Good job.
He timed
Mike.
It.
Nailed it.
Dave Justice.
Dave. Why did I say Mike?
I don't know.
It's a lot of problems.
All right, so we go in.
Wait,
here.
Isn't there also a baseball player named David Justice?
David Justice played for
the... He spells it the normal way.
Yes. I played for the Braves.
So I actually did read the public relations graphic novel.
And you...
I enjoyed them.
You won't shut up about it every episode.
That's right.
We're just never running when you talk about it.
Yeah, I didn't understand why my praise didn't actually get into the episode.
This is beautiful. It's a beautiful book.
I meticulously edited it out every single time.
So there you have it.
Wait, did he send in one copy or one for each of us?
No, there's one for each of us.
Great.
Oh, great.
So there it is.
That sounds fantastic. I look forward to reading this.
Yeah.
That's great. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Dave Justice.
I can't promise my children will be interested, but I'll do my best.
I think... I know Oliver's got too much on his plate right now to be interested in that. We play the theme song while we chew.
Yeah.
All right. So we teased this on the last or two episodes ago.
Yeah, we meant to have some Oreos with Allison Rosen, and we forgot.
Just having such a good time talking
because we still we have this remaining package of Oreos,
right?
Which are just peanut butter. Mm-hmm. And this is remaining, by the way, in addition to the Never Not Funny Oreos.
Right.
And we do have another box on here that I'm going to open on Monday.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's a Monday box.
We're going to need help to eat all the snacks that are presumably in that box.
in that 3x3 box.
It's humongous.
All right. So these are the peanut butter flavored Oreos.
Now, we all know that chocolate and peanut butter do not taste good together. It's a well-known fact.
It's a well-known fact.
No one else.
There was an accident once, and the two things got put together, and then they never happened again.
And then someone died, actually, from eating it. So it's interesting that they would try this.
From the accident and from eating it,
All right. Now, I will tell you this. I'm not a huge fan of peanut butter-flavored things.
But do you like the combo? Do you like Reese's peanut butter?
Yeah, cakes? I actually do. I mean,
who doesn't? They're fucking great.
I love them. You know what I don't like? I don't like Reese's Pieces at all.
Really?
I
do.
Like, at all. I mean, if it's the only candy there, I'm going to eat it like I've never, enjoyed something more in my life. All right, nobody chew until we get until everybody gets one, and then we'll play that theme song.
Hold on. And again, I was going to come.
These are the peanut butter Oreos, is what we're tasting today.
Mm. That's a strong peanut buttery smell.
And then so Garen has his now. Elliot's got his.
Do you like those crackers with peanut butter in the middle? I don't get it at a 7-Eleven.
No, I don't. In fact, I'm going to tell you something, Matt. Today, I had a doctor's appointment, and then I had some time to kill, and I was hungry, and so I stopped, and I got myself a hot tea, and I got the Ritz with the cheese in the middle.
I like that.
Peanut butter was an option, but I went with the cheese version.
I would always prefer the cheese in the middle, but I also like the peanut butter in the middle.
I'll
eat anything, I guess. I'm just a fucking asshole. I don't have any fucking qualms. I'm like, is that food? Can I digest it? Yeah, put it in my mouth.
You did put the Lady Gaga thing in your mouth. So
I did. I was.
But one of us had to.
It was not a good idea.
I wasn't here, so I didn't have to do that.
All right, play the theme.
Okay.
Here we go.
Someone from Hollywood released a baked good. Special edition. So here's our mission. We went to buy them so we could try them. We're tasting cookies.
The inside's creamy and the outside's black. They come together to make the perfect snack. Who'd have thought Post Malone had good cookies? It's snack.
Oh, more.
Oh, Oreo. Taste and you'll remember. Oreo. Expired last September. Oreo. Which flavor will they taste today? Garen sucks.
All right, now listen. Garen does suck. There's no question about that. Somebody on the internet, by the way, posted a thing about Garen sucks and then made the point of... Don't worry, internet. This is an inside joke.
No,
nobody's really mad.
Just out of context, it could be a little bit jarring for people.
Yeah, but accurate.
Speaking of things sucking, though, that wasn't good.
No, that was. I see that. I mean, it's exactly what was advertised.
Yeah. Yes,
but shrug-a-rood for me.
Not a negative, but not a positive.
Agreed, Garen. You had a look on your face immediately upon biting into it.
I thought I was going to like it. I don't dislike it. They cancel each other out.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Like, it's a shrug. Like nothing's happening.
Yeah,
it's. I don't know. Like, I guess the chocolate of the cookie. Obviously, the cookie is dry, and like I think this really of all of the ones we've had, and this is true of most Oreos, but especially this flavor, it needs milk.
I do not think it does because I do not care for milk.
Okay, but it needs moisture. It's like I was highly aware of the dryness of it all. And I think that's because in my mind, I either wanted it to be a peanut butter cup or it's a little too close to the cracker with peanut butter that we were talking about. Like, it's not sweet and cookie enough to take it away from. It's almost just like a. I don't know. It's just lost in a.
Well, peanut butter is dry and chewy to begin with.
Right.
I don't think it's real peanut butter. I think it's flavored Oreo filling, but you take my point. That's a dry chew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was my problem with it.
Yeah. I'm putting that at the bottom.
It's not the worst.
You think it's worse than some of like the matcha one and the.
I think it's middle.
I forgot about the crazy stupid ones that
I don't even remember all those ones that we got. I think it was Kyle Ryan sent the sort of trio of Japanese.
Yeah, and then somebody else sent some in.
Yeah,
but the whole reason this all started with Kyle Ryan sending in those. Mm-hmm.
Well, it started with Post Malone and then the Lady Gaga's that's true. But then that kicked off this ridiculous.
I think I still put. As of this writing,
yeah.
And again, you might tell me, Jimmy, you said something different before. Original Oreo is still number one for me. Post Malone comes into the second hole.
Mm.
And then Toffee in the three hole.
What about the s'more?
the s'more.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck me. S'mores in the three hole.
And then there's the one that you prefer, which is the...
The vanilla. I thought that was your number one.
The gold.
Well, the gold. You're right. Golden number one, then your classic, then your Post Malone.
Really? Maybe the apple ones?
What?
The apple cinnamon-y one?
Oh, I've never seen that.
That one's good.
Well, we haven't had that one, Garen.
Garen, why is this just coming up now?
You know, we've been doing this for months.
It just popped into my head just now. It's,
hey, you guys ever tried cookies?
You guys like Oreos? You should try these. Yeah, we've been eating them for months.
Garen, why haven't you brought them in yet?
First of all.
Yeah, I know. I know why.
They're not going to make it.
Yeah.
I would say that if there's a party that's an appropriate party to display Oreo cookies as part of your snack table, I will have three of these and be fine and done. Whereas other of the Oreos, a whole row is gone.
Yeah.
If I'm at a birthday party, and you know I go to parties, I enjoy myself.
Sure, sure.
I'm with you. If there is a plate of regular Oreos, I'm gonna grab two, eat them, go, oh, there's Matt, chit-chat with Matt. The second that I'm done with that, I'm gonna go, will you excuse me? I'm gonna go back and get more Oreos. Mm-hmm. If it's these, I don't go back.
No. Yeah, two and done. For you,
but
yeah.
For me, I don't go back for the original. I for me, it's s'more number one, Post Malone number two, toffee number three, and then I think maybe a double stuff original as a number four.
I like that classic Oreo, and I like the golden, of course.
I think the golden and the classic, they should occupy one spot in the ranking because it's like
it's not the same.
No, but it's not the same. I know they're not. I prefer golden.
I know you do. I just feel like. That's the template that we're working off of. I know they're different. I guess you can have it. You can have a preference. We all would have a preference between the two.
Because here's why it's different.
Yeah.
Golden's number one for me. Original comes in at number four. Mm-hmm. So if they're not even close to being number one for me or number four. You know.
Well, like I said last week, I haven't had a golden in so long. I need to have one to just give it a proper day in court. I mean, like it might shoot up my rankings. I don't remember.
That day may come, Matt. I don't know what's in the big box down there, but I can tell you that the Vowel House has some cookies coming your way.
All right. Well, that's just
do you have them on your person?
Not in the moment.
Because
no.
I kind of need something else after that.
Well, there's a Post Malone over here.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you Post Malone it up?
Yeah.
I wanted to try something else that I hadn't had.
All right. We're not opening this today.
I know.
it's too much.
I guess I'll have to do the... Well, and Garen has some of those weird... Thin. Are those matcha? What are those ones over there? Or it's the tiramisu?
I have a Post Malone.
The tiramisu thins over there?
I'm having a Post Malone.
Play the songs again.
grab a Post Malone.
Someone from Hollywood released a baked good special edition. So here's our mission.
Gary, you want a Post Malone?
We went to buy them. So we could try them. We're tasting cookies.
I went into the deep row. You went in the middle.
Yeah.
Garen's got a blue ring. He sucks.
Wait, have we heard that before?
I never heard it.
I don't think so.
Play it again.
That before.
Garen's got a blue ring. He sucks.
It's been sitting here, and I've been waiting for some opportunity, and
love it.
Either it didn't come up or like it wasn't appropriate for the discussion. But yeah, that's Chris Mack.
Thank you, Chris. I'm going to tell you something. That Post Malone, mine was a little stale.
Yeah,
still 1,000 times better than that peanut butter one.
Oh my god, yeah.
And I feel like that peanut butter one might need a double stuff.
You might need more peanut butter. Is what you're saying?
Maybe
because they just to help. Me they just. There's not enough of either one, so
yeah.
There's no, and it just kind of.
That should be good. It should be balanced, but for some reason, it just, like you said, it's sort of like a cancellation of flavor that you end up feeling like you didn't eat anything.
It's so for me, and maybe you'll object to this, but I always eat an Oreo by taking one of the cookies off and eating that, and then eat the rest of it.
Never.
And so
wouldn't do that if I was had a gun to my fucking temple. I would rather die than do that.
I'm
I
like okay with the one footing. Side, like, but then you've got just cookie. That sucks.
Well, you got to open with that. You got to eat just cookie first. Yeah,
just cookie first, absolutely.
But that's a terrible bite.
But then it's gone, and then because I like biting into the filling.
You're a sick man.
You like for that? Sure. You like the softness against your teeth?
Yeah.
Like you're eating an ass.
It's like.
Don't even know what that means. But like I said, it was fun to say.
So I like an open-faced Oreo, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay. I like the use of open-faced Oreo. You know what? I'm no longer mad at you.
Sounds like a new flavor they need to make. Open-faced Oreo.
Oh, could you imagine a beef-flavored Oreo?
No. Look, we're not too far off from that. Let's be real.
Why doesn't Oreo know what we're doing yet? Why is Nabisco not getting on board here?
That's a great question. I agree with that, and yet I think at some point it's like it has to end because
I'm not suggesting it doesn't have to end. I just want Nabisco money.
Money would be great.
We're giving them,
but we don't need more cookies. That's what I mean. We certainly don't need more cookies.
We do not need more cookies
unless they want to make a. All right, if Oreo said, we will make a custom flavor either for Never Not Funny or for each of us. What would your custom flavor be?
I think they're doing a good job on their own.
Didn't we talk about this with some guest?
We might have said something.
Maybe I'm asking the same question. I think for me, because I love almonds so much, I want
almond.
I want a classic cookie with the almond
like an amaretto
in the middle.
Yeah.
Paste.
Like a marzipan?
Yeah, we did have this conversation. Because I remember you saying
that
with the almond.
Isn't marzipan made of almonds?
I talking to the wrong guy.
I have no idea.
Other Oreos I was talking about is apple cider donut.
Well,
Oreos.
Cider donut.
I welcome them in to try.
I love an apple cider donut.
They were good.
Maybe it's in that box. Who knows?
I'm not opening that box today.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying it could be in there.
I don't think they make them anymore because I just tried to look them up on Amazon and they were not there.
We know what we're not doing.
No, we're not doing it.
We're not getting another stale-ass expired cookie.
Vision Quest for apple cider Oreos.
Let me say this about the Post Malone.
Yeah.
Whenever we last had them, we opened it and immediately had one. There was something weird about that. I think, and this is going to sound crazy, but if you're going to have a Post Malone Oreo, let it air out a little bit. Don't just like go right in. There's like the chemicaliness is stronger when it's right out of the freshly opened pack. I think you need to put it on plate. It's like a glass of wine. You need to let it breathe.
Out.
Yeah, let it breathe and then
get the notes.
Yeah. Let her cry. Hootie the Blowfish.
Yep. Did I tell you? I'm sorry to interrupt you a seventh time. Charlie's Choir sang a Darius Rucker solo song.
Which one did they do?
Choir set. Wagon Wheel?
Love it.
Yeah.
You know who wrote it?
No.
Who wrote Wagon Wheel?
Is it someone we know?
No.
Oh.
But like one of the biggest artists of all time.
Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It was Bob Dylan.
That's crazy.
And it sounds so... Guy in Nashville wrote a song.
Yeah.
Like when I saw... By the way, I don't know. The writing credit is B period Dylan. It could be Brendan Dylan. Could be just some guy in Nashville. I don't know.
No, it would make sense that he wrote that.
That's a great song.
Yeah, it was
fun.
That's
a great song.
It was a whole. They did a whole sort of Go West themed set that was in there.
I told you, I'm all in on the Darius Rucker's greatest hits. I think it's
it's a cover song.
What is it? What does that mean? Yeah,
Bob Dylan cover.
It's an old Cro-Medicine Show.
Yes.
Song.
That maybe Dylan wrote for them. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Garen.
Dylan recorded the chorus in 1973. Right. Seeker added verses 25 years later. Old Cro-Medicine Show's final version was certified platinum in 2013.
Hmm. Wow, 2013. And then, wait a minute.
But that was after the...
No, Darius Rucker was 2013.
Oh, okay.
Because he did it live. He did it at the Conan in Atlanta. He was a guest.
I wonder if his version propelled their version.
Old Crow
to get
bump up a little bit
to that platinum or whatever. Yeah,
could be.
Like a wagon. That's a good song. That's a good song. All right, let's do this. Let's. Sitting cross-legged
on the floor. Speaking of good songs. As Jimmy goes
around the hall. Guess what?
Garen sucks. I was about to play the pre-guest song, but that's not for this. This is for trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is just the letter game.
Yeah.
There is no pre-guess.
Yeah. We didn't do the pre-guess on Zoom.
We didn't.
Forgot.
Yeah. We were lucky enough to do a show.
No shit.
By the way, I cannot tell you, I shared with Oliver that we found the image of Jamie Lee Curtis doing that selfie. The glee that I have that, like, I'm not nuts.
Right.
Yeah,
that was, like, because, you know, there, at the end of the day, that could have been, like, hey, dude, maybe your new new lenses are, and it was just some woman taking a photograph. The joy of actually having the proof of that.
Mm. It's also a little bit like, hey, I was there.
I was there.
So it's like seeing a movie, and you're like, I was on set that day, and they shot that.
100%. That's what I think every time I watch Dreamgirls.
I had that same kind of thing when I saw Elizabeth Banks at the movie theater doing a little selfie thing. Mm-hmm. I'm like, is that Elizabeth Banks? I had to scour her Instagram to find proof. And she was doing some weird partnership with Regal at the time. So that's
the Regal Beagle. That's your theater
it was
of choice.
Not the Regal Beagle. It was the other. Oh, it was the North Hollywood Regal that I was at this time, which I never go to.
Is that the one on Victory? No, that's a Cinemark.
Yeah, no, it is Victory. It's Victory.
The Regal Beagle?
In that complex with Trader Joe's?
Yeah, there is a... It looks like the Americana, which is weirdly placed in the middle of North Hollywood.
Yeah, right next to the 170.
It shouldn't be there.
It's a weird spot.
Yeah, it is a very weird spot.
It's interesting. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's kind of new, I think. I mean, the theater was there, and then they sort of built up all this shit around it.
Yeah, it's really built up. It's really nice.
I haven't been there.
Where are we talking about?
It's right off the 170.
It's barely North Hollywood. It's
Victory in Lincolnshire or more north of that?
No, it's closer to here. It's maybe Laurel Canyon, maybe?
Oh, is it? Did it used to be where the Dollar Movie Theater was? That place? Well, like across from where Sears was? That's now a college?
I don't know.
I think so. NoHo West, it's called.
All right, well, good.
yeah, it's Laurel Canyon, 6150 Laurel Canyon, North Hollywood.
That's it. I've been there. Love it. You used to go to the Dollar Movie Theater there all the time.
I didn't know there was one.
Yeah, it was right there.
Well, ain't a dollar anymore.
Yeah, now it's the Regal Beagle. You got Elizabeth, the likes of Elizabeth Banks go there.
Yeah, Lizzie Banks in the place.
Garen, what's going on other than your love of Elizabeth Banks and her game show hosting?
What else is going on? Is there anything happening in the few days we... No, we're just watching TV, hanging out.
That's it. Any update on the on a roommate? That guy called back after he left?
No, I haven't heard from him.
From P-Rug?
Yeah, you're not gonna hear back from that.
I don't think I am. I do have a friend of mine who lives in out of state who's suddenly like, I think I want to move back.
Do it.
Oh yeah, done.
And if that's the case, the problem is it wouldn't be until August. Mm. But he's like, I might be able to just give you like a hold on it. I'm like, oh,
well then, do that. That's because I've got a guy who wants to move in right now. That's what you say to this person.
Yeah, put the screws to this asshole.
This guy's an asshole. This guy's a real dickhead. Wait until August. You tell him you can't wait.
It's no, but he'll make it, so it's okay.
You better shampoo that rug.
Get on the phone and say, do you know who you're talking to here? You're dealing with Garen of Garen Sucks fame. You can't fuck around with this.
I have songs written about me, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You tell him that. There's enamel pins with my face on it. Pay your rent. This guy's it. I never dislike somebody so instantly.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's a nightmare. The
but great roommate.
Oh, yeah. He'll be fantastic.
Oh, you're going to love living with him.
Yeah.
Once he's in, he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But again, I can't stress this enough. Shampoo that rug. That guy shouldn't have to fuck on a piss carpet.
Maybe he doesn't have to fuck on a carpet at all if he gets a bed.
Get down on that floor. Let's go. Yeah. Use every surface you can.
Okay.
That's my advice.
Comfy.
Garen, do you have a guess for the L movie? I know you do. What is your guess for the L movie? Horror or sci-fi?
I'm going to go horror.
Okay.
I'm going to go a classic, even though I dislike it immensely.
Oh, no.
Last House on the Left.
He doesn't like it. Doesn't like it.
One of my favorite directors, and I think it's one of his worst movies.
Who stars in that movie?
Nobody.
Is that the one I saw at the Chinese at midnight one time? The Chinese movie theater?
Maybe. It's grossly violent.
Well, it's been
sexually
it's been
violent.
Remade, right?
It has been remade with your guy from your doppelganger. What was his name? Dylan.
Oh, Dylan Baker.
Dylan Walsh?
Walsh.
Dylan Walsh.
Is that his name? Dylan Walsh? Or is that the guy from 90210, the character?
That's Brandon Walsh.
That's confusing, yeah.
Yeah. They're not
Dylan McKay and Brandon Walsh are characters on 90210.
Yeah, right.
You put them together and you create a real man who looks like Jimmy.
That's right. By the way, a guy, a fan of ours who lives in London across the pond, mm-hmm. sent in a photograph of his 2-year-old son and said, hey, I know you're getting a lot of negative emails, but I wanted to send a positive vibe. Here's a photo of my 2-year-old son, a doppelganger for Jimmy Pardo, and I'm not fucking around. If I had a photograph of me at 2 years old and put it side by side, you'd think of the same person.
Wow.
It is
Huh.
Fascinating how much this kid looks like me at two years old.
It's hard to imagine how a two-year-old could look like you because, you know, you're a man and he's a child.
Yeah. No, he looks like
I
me
wanna see this.
At two.
Okay. But you still recognized it as that's me.
Yeah.
And he did. Like, yes. He doesn't know what your baby pictures look like.
He does, yes.
Oh, you sent them to him?
Yeah, I said, you ever use these, let me know.
How can I see these?
I can forward it to you.
Okay.
That's how I can handle that.
I got to see this.
Definitely interested.
A lot of nice emails, by the way. A lot of people sending emails. That was not the point of me bitching about things, but I appreciate the positive energy.
To info as well. Nice emails.
I'll also say, I hate to ask for songs because they happen organically. But the doctor I see most often now is a guy that I call him by his first name is Drew. So it's Dr. Drew. So if anybody thinks of a song for that, because that's the doctor I see the most. Mm. I don't see Joe Sugarman anymore. And that's a shame because we've got the great song.
Yeah.
I see Drew a lot. And so it'd be fun. And I think Drew would be a guy if I said to him, hey, you're never going to believe this. There's a song. I go to you so often. Somebody wrote a song. He would get a nice charge on it.
Okay.
He's a younger guy. Joe Sugarman's like, great, I got to talk to Paul Stanley. I don't give a shit. Kevin Cronin's coming in.
Okay, so if it's a younger guy, it's not Drew Pinsky.
I wouldn't go to Drew Pinsky. Drew Pinsky, he's going nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit.
Little RFK Jr. vibe on him.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. A lot of snake oil. All right, let's say hello to Elliot. Elliot, what's going on over there?
Hello. Yesterday,
yes,
I took Irma to the Thai grocery store in Thai Town here in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm. Where is Thai Town?
So that is Hollywood Boulevard and not Western.
Oh, over by the old UCB, sort of.
Yes.
Oh, that's Sunset, but
in that
it's over there.
Yes.
I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a Home Depot not too far from there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so last time we tried to go there, it was too late. They'd closed because they close at like 6 or
the
7.
The Thai like to be home for the evening.
I guess so. So we went to the Thai grocery store and we walked through and it was just like a world of delights for Irma because there are many familiar products and ingredients and there's something called Srikaya coconut egg cream that is like she spread some on some white bread for us last night. It's delicious. Seems like something that ought to be in a donut. It's like a custard.
Oh, boy.
And she was just over the moon that we were able to find those here in Los Angeles. And hopefully, since it's made in another country, we will still be able to find it in the future.
Yeah.
I actually asked the cashier, and she's like, there's less stuff now. Less stuff.
Oh, they're saying less stuff.
Yeah. So
you ever go to that the Thai food place that has the Elvis impersonator? What's that? That's in the corner of what? Something and something.
I don't know.
Sure, probably.
There's also like a storage place in that building. You know,
public storage.
Self storage, yeah.
In that neighborhood?
No, right in that. It's in that same building.
Oh, so it's like at the ground floor and the storage.
Yeah,
is
the
above.
Storage is above.
Old school style.
And then there's it's a huge place. You kind of you sit at communal tables.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then there's they may have karaoke on certain nights, but they have a huge Elvis statue in there.
Oh.
And then on the weekend, I believe, an Elvis, a Thai Elvis impersonator performs. I've never seen that. I've never been there at those times, but whenever I go there for lunch or whatever, it's delicious.
Oh, cool.
Palms Thai?
Palms Thai. That's our guy.
Okay.
And, where is it? What's the address?
5900 Hollywood Boulevard.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay, so it's got to be in that neighborhood.
Yeah, so it's Hollywood and... it might be
Western.
Is it Western?
I just clicked off that.
Okay. Anyway, it's good. It's delicious. I've had a friend of the show, Kyle Ryan, and I had lunch there once. It's a good spot to meet. Like, it's a good halfway spot.
Okay.
Between people, and it's not expensive because it's Thai food, and they do a nice job. It's delicious.
And there are a lot of nice little Thai restaurants in there as well. You may remember Josh Pageant, who was a friend of the show when we were doing a Parcastathon at Acme.
Yes.
He likes Thai Patio, which is very near there.
All right.
And I've eaten there. It's delicious as well.
I was just talking with somebody about when I used to live in West Hollywood, there was a great Thai place, Galanga, on Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. And I miss it because there's not as good Thai in the valley, or at least in Burbank. I like a nice, easy, quick, you know, right nearby type place.
Yeah.
Haven't. I mean, they're fine. They're all fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Jesus Christ.
No, I'll just eat this part and leave the other.
I used to go to Galaga.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I put a quarter down.
Yeah.
Sure.
They would give you plenty of food.
And noodles, sure. Noodles come down from the top of the screen.
Sure, sure. You have to shoot them.
You have to shoot at them.
Hopefully they don't hit you in the face.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that sounds like you guys are having a great time over there.
Sure.
Good thing she moved to this country. You're showing her all the sights.
How similar is Thai and Indonesian food?
I mean, I get the sense, I'm not an expert by any means, but I get the sense that all of Southeast Asia kind of mixes and matches some things. Mm-hmm. I think that Thai has more peanut, and is a little spicier, although Indonesian food can be very spicy as well.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot off the top of my head. There are certain ingredients that are in Indonesian food that don't happen as much in Thai food, but I can't think of what they are off the top of my head.
But like when she's in that Thai grocery store, is she like, and by the way, grocery, that's a word that I just made up.
It sure.
It just means like, it's like a small market where you can buy food to make it home.
Sounds old fashioned to me.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's sort of a throwback, but sure. I'm bringing it back.
Okay.
Is it like, if she walks around that place, does she see stuff that she could also have bought where she grew up?
Yeah. I mean, the main thing that we got, and we actually went to two different stores in that neighborhood. We found a smaller one, but fresh lemongrass, which we'd gone to some Japanese stores and some Korean stores where they didn't have, but they had it at the Thai store.
At the smaller one, you say?
They had them both.
Very good.
Yeah. Exciting.
You said you're not an expert on food. You ever have pizza?
Sure.
Just ask them.
Oh, that's like where it's like dough with sauce and bread and cheese on top of me.
You add bread on top of you?
Yeah.
So that,
try it.
don't knock it
until you try it.
That's a calzone, exactly.
There you go. You hate the grease on top of pizzas. Have you ever tried throwing some bread on top to soak it up?
He doesn't like the word soak in that
context. And then you throw the bread away.
Then okay.
Yeah.
But man.
Hollywood and Bronson is one.
Hollywood and Bronson.
Ah, okay.
Bronson.
There's a tattoo parlor right across the street if you want to go across the street and get some fresh ink. Mm-hmm. There's a lot happening on that corner. What's your guess, Elliot, for the L motion picture?
Well, I'm going sci-fi and thinking that maybe a Jimmy Pardo would think of this film.
Yes.
Logan's Run.
Logan's Run.
Logan's Run.
With Farrah Fawcett.
Mm-hmm. And John.
John. What was his name? It's not John Voight. It's John.
I can't pull it.
Oh, what was that guy? He was popular for about 6 years at a time that nobody cared that he was famous.
Kind of looked a little like John Voight.
That's
too,
why,
right?
Yeah. Oh, what is his name? Gary, give us the initials.
Is it John?
Yeah, might not.
It is not John.
It is not John. What is it? Because we both had John Voight on our mind.
Yeah.
What's his initials?
M-Y.
Michael Young.
No.
It's not Michael Young?
No, you're close.
Mike Young.
Michael
York. Michael York.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, Michael York.
Okay, I know that name.
Yeah, same deal, though. He was, like, I stand by it. For 6 years, Michael York worked a ton, had his name above the title, but at the same time, not famous. Who cares?
Yeah, and also, like, a good actor.
Yeah.
But at the same time, nondescript.
Yeah.
Like an everyman kind of guy.
Yeah. Michael York. Wish him a lot of luck. Probably will die in the next week. All right, so you're going with Logan's Run.
Logan's Run.
All right, Matt Belknap.
That's what I wanted to say. That felt like the most Jimmy Pardo of all the answers that I could come up with that I found on the internet. So I'm going to go Lost Boys.
Boys.
I didn't even think of that.
Again, we talked about it before. Hair by Giancarlo Gonzano.
Did a great job. It's very memorable.
They all have the exact same hair. Every character in that movie has the same guy. As did his son Dion, as did Gino. Dino Gonzano. His name was Dino Gonzano. The kid, I said Gino. It's Dino was the father. Gian was the son. And I believe Gian is an editor here in town now.
Yeah.
Wish him luck.
He was going to name his other son Gino, but then was like, I can't do that to him. So they just flipped those two last letters. Is it G-I-O-N? Gian?
I think it's G-I-A-N.
Okay.
Maybe it's short for Giancarlo.
Yeah, I believe it's Giancarlo Gonzano.
So it wasn't what I said.
No. In fact, Garrett, I'm trying to forget what you just said. That was...
Gino and Dino?
Yeah. Yeah, we're not going to do that. I'll give you the guesses from the guy before we get to the fans.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, what are the odds?
That's so exciting that worked. Like, what a mitzvah.
Again, this is from Dave Justice, not the ball player, the graphic artist, graphic novel writer. Depending on what episode you open this on, my guess for the letter game is Lawnmower Man.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess for Oliver's trivia is Lawnmower Man 2 Beyond Cyberspace. So Lawnmower Man is Dave Justice's guess.
Nice.
What are you going to do if he wins? Send him the money?
Send me the money.
That'd be crazy if people mailed things in with a guess, and if they got it
that's
right.
That's not happening.
Let's not compromise.
There's probably post office fraud involved if we do that. Who knows what?
There is?
I don't know. If somebody sends in to a contest and then we send the money in the mail, I bet that's not good.
If we could just Venmo it.
Yeah, we'd have to Venmo it, man.
Yeah, probably.
All right, go.
I'm going to go ahead and not worry about that.
Don't need money. You don't win money. I said don't need. Only heard the song 4,000 times.
You've also heard the real song 4,000 times.
You know what? I've never heard it.
Check it out.
You guys talk about it all the time.
It's great.
What the fans think of.
By the way, I learned a fun fact. Did I mention this already? Maybe. It doesn't matter. I'll say it again. You know how in the movie Back to the Future, when Marty McFly and his band are auditioning for the school dance and
yes.
they play that song? What you hear in the movie is the demo that Huey Lewis and the News sent to the studio.
You did tell us.
Oh, that's okay. Cool.
Yeah. I don't remember. Crazy.
This was said on this very program.
Yeah.
In this room.
Mm. I had a feeling, but good it had to be said twice.
You know what? It's a nice piece of trivia.
It is a nice piece of trivia.
So next time you're at a party, bring it out.
Yeah. I will.
Never mention it on this fucking show again.
I'll try not to.
Clever filmmaking.
Give it to us.
If you'll indulge me, I would like to speed through 16 instead of 10.
Sure. We won't say a word.
Let the wrong one in. Last house on the left. La Llorona. The Last Starfighter. This is the reason why I'm doing this. The Lighthouse. Last Jedi. And then
doesn't
now,
count.
The Last Jedi.
Actually called Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi.
Well, now hold on, because when we did Empire Strikes Back, we said it didn't have to be that.
We're allowing.
Because when Empire Strikes came out,
it was called Star Wars Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it was, because the logo had Star Wars on it.
It said that on that, but the title at the time was The Empire Strikes Back.
Well, anyway, look, I'd allow it.
We're never going to have to worry about it.
That's right. Okay, now we're in the 10.
If anybody picks one of those, other than S for Star Wars, if you pick one of those, you're going on your way to be an asshole.
All right. Let Me In.
Let Me In. That's a vampire movie.
Ah, very good.
I don't know if that's true. Is it, Garen?
Sounds like one.
That is a remake of a Swedish vampire movie.
Oh.
Yes.
That's right. The Swedes love their vampires.
Mm. And Let the Right One In is also from Europe.
That's it. Those are the two.
Oh.
Let the Right One In.
Oh, Let Me In is a remake of Let the Right One In?
If I'm not mistaken, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so maybe then when they said Let the Wrong One In, that's the movie they made.
Well, there is a movie called Let the Wrong One In.
Oh, goodness.
From 2021.
That's confusing.
I don't know if that's what they're actually guessing.
All right.
Well, they're not right.
Next up, Logan's Run.
Logan's Run, that's what you said.
Mm-hmm. Then Lawnmower Man, that's what...
Lawnmower Man, that's what our friend Dave Justice said.
Yeah. Legend.
Legend.
That's the Will Smith one, right? No.
No, that's I Am Legend.
Tom Cruise.
Legend. Isn't Legend more of a fantasy movie?
Yeah, it's a fantasy.
Oh, that's right. Now I know which one.
Tim Curry is the devil.
Is the devil.
Oh.
So perhaps that doesn't qualify.
Take some time away from Georgia.
And then Let the Right One In is here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Looper.
Yeah.
This seems like a possible Jimmy Carter
on my list.
No, it doesn't.
That's another one of those movies. That's what I was thinking of when I said there was movies that I missed in that window of time.
That's the kid with three names.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis.
Yeah. Good movie, actually.
My son likes that movie.
The remake, The Last House on the Left, I assume, because it's on here twice. Here's another one that this is my sort of backup, was Long Legs.
Long Legs, the recent Nick Cage film.
That's a good one for Jimmy, because I remember you ranting about how bad it was,
mm-hmm.
right?
I liked it to a point, I think.
I can't remember.
And then it fell off a cliff, maybe?
I feel like there's a handful of movies per year that you come in and you're like, saw this. Fucking horrible. Worst thing I've ever seen.
Sure.
and I couldn't remember if that was one of them or if
I see a lot of bad movies.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like that one, I remember you seeing it. I remember going, okay, I wouldn't have seen it anyway, but I'm definitely not going
to
see it.
I liked, right, Garen, I liked it to a point.
Yes, I believe that is accurate. And I don't even know if that point was a cliff for you. I don't remember.
Okay. I think it was kind of like...
Because it does, there is a weird thing that it does, and I kind of understand that.
Some people would dig it, and I did not. Go right ahead, sir.
All right. Number two, Lost Boys.
Lost Boys, that's what Matt said.
And number one, nobody mentioned.
Yeah.
Leprechaun.
Leprechaun. That was in my sixth spot.
You saw it in the theater?
Yes.
I thought that was going to be your guess, to be honest with you, Garen.
It didn't even come to mind, and I'm kind of mad at myself for it. Leviathan was my other guess.
Oh, that's a good one.
I wrote that down as well.
And the only one that hasn't been mentioned that I had was a sequel that does count, because the sequel title comes before the title, Lost World, Jurassic Park.
Oh, very good. I believe this was a film and not a television program. Limitless.
Yep.
Yep. I think it was both. With
Bradley Cooper. Maybe.
That's why I was confused.
Yeah.
By the way, Life Force gets that?
What?
Life Force?
Oh, that's a good one.
I think there's
Lucy. Isn't Lucy technically sci-fi? Yeah. It's kind of the same premise as Limitless, I think.
All right, here's the deal.
Yeah, something
maybe
similar.
I don't know. I didn't see
it. I don't know if there's a pill in Lucy, but yeah. She's powerful.
She's very powerful. Yeah. She's got these in the sky with those diamonds. I'm going to tell you something. I saw the trailer for that the new Lost World, whatever it's called, the new Jurassic Park.
Oh, with Scarlett Johansson.
And I thought it looked pretty good.
It seems all right.
Yeah. It looked better than like the last two things we had to sit through.
I checked out on the whole Jurassic World after the first one. I was like, nah, these are bad.
It was absolutely horrible.
Yeah. And I heard they just got kind of worse, which is crazy.
I didn't even see the last, because there was three of them, right?
Yeah.
I saw the first one. I did not care for it. Like, well, I still like the premise. And then I hated the second one. It was like, I'm not even wasting my time with the third.
I'm going to take the same attitude I took with the last couple. I'll just wait and see if people say it's any good. And if they do, I'll go check it out.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here's my five. I do have five.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Although five may be debatable. The Last Starfighter.
Sure.
That's sci-fi.
Yeah. Or as I put it, the Last Starge Fighter. My typing.
Did you
that
ever see
one
that?
Is a drama. Was that?
You ever see that?
No.
Me neither.
It's good. It's got what's his name from
Michael York?
No, from 76 Trombones. What's
Lance?
Craig Bierko?
No, the original one.
What? Robert Preston.
Robert Preston. Oh. He plays the alien.
I may have seen this.
Yeah, the premise is kids playing a video game. Video game turns out to be training to become the last starfighter in real life, and it's one of the first like real 3D graphics movies. Mm.
Well, number four is Elliot's favorite movie, The Lighthouse.
Nice.
Number three. Now, here's the thing. I did make a change here. This is the what I'm about to tell you is the first thing I thought of.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Leprechaun.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was the first thing I thought of. But then as I did my research, I realized there are two more that are more Jimmy Pardo mm-hmm. than Leprechaun.
Yeah.
Leprechaun 2?
Which is...
I believe that I went to school at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts with a young lady named J.C. Murray, who was in Leprechaun. Is that possible? And wasn't Jennifer Aniston in one of them?
She was in the first one.
Then it's not that. Then it's not Leprechaun.
Was it
maybe Troll?
Was it Leprechaun in the Hood? Sorry, in Da Hood?
No.
Was it Back to the Hood?
Remember, I went to school in 1987.
Well,
so
that's
when Leprechaun was, right?
6 years before Leprechaun? I think it was like 92 or 93.
So then what was J.C. Murray in then, Matt, if it wasn't Leprechaun?
Leprechaun?
That's it.
Are you Jesus a leprechaun right? or a leprechaun?
That was very close to
get up!
Or you could throw a U in there.
And then you have a porn parody.
I definitely felt like I had to be a little careful saying that.
It came a little close, which is what made me think of it. Garrett, look up, I think it's J.C. Murray, what the young lady went by at the time. That was not her first name. It begins with J.
Seems it tracks.
This might be.
I have a photograph of her and the aforementioned Gian Gonzano.
Wow.
I feel like we've looked this up before.
What's that?
What's that worth?
You know what? It's weight and gold, sir.
Yeah.
Good memories.
Well, photos are not very heavy, so that makes sense.
Here's how they're posed. I'm going to say classic movie. What classic movie? I think it's a movie poster, or at least it was a still from the movie. Mm-hmm. What movie are they posed in? What movie are they posed in? And remember, this is 1987.
Right. I'm picturing. Well, I have a couple of ideas. Officer and a Gentleman carrying her out at the end.
Dude, you're it's not, but you're really close.
Okay. Oh. So my other thought was not that era, but From Here to Eternity, Making Out on the Beach.
Go. Yes, I look at that often. Go back to that era.
So it's from the 50s or 40s.
No.
It's from the 80s.
It's from the 80s.
Oh, okay. So not the From Here to Eternity era.
Oh, man.
Although I believe Officer and Gentleman is 79, isn't it?
Maybe.
Or is that 80?
I think it's early 80s. I don't remember though. What's the song? What's the big song in it?
Love lifts us up where we belong. Joe Cocker, Jennifer Warnes.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't prove anything because I don't remember when that song was out.
Fly. On a mountain. God, I loved that song when it came out. Yeah. Loved it. Absolutely loved
Big
it.
Big in karaoke at that time.
Oh.
Were you doing karaoke that early
in your
life?
Why are you doing karaoke as an infant?
I mean, he would have been what, 16 or?
Yeah,
that's still too young to be in a karaoke bar. Get out of there.
Also, when did karaoke become popular?
Well, I know that.
Because it was big in Japan, I know that.
I was in college, so this is between 88 and 92. Mm-hmm. And I would probably have been 1990. When would have been doing it?
I feel like LA got karaoke before the rest of the country because it was Japan invented it basically, right? And then
there were some good, English karaoke discs when I started doing it, because before then it was like the video backgrounds and laser discs and that kind of stuff, which I didn't experience in a first wave.
82 for Officer and Gentleman.
Okay,
so did I hear a rumor they're remaking that? Did I hear that rumor?
Oh, I've not heard that.
I think I got irrationally angry at that.
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
Because those two there's no reason to remake that movie.
All right. What was the pose? I've given up. My guess was close enough.
Top Gun.
Oh.
Top Gun, where there's it's Tom Cruise is just looking straight ahead and she's on his shoulder.
Mm. It was pretty close.
Yeah.
Speaking of Top Gun.
Yeah. What do you got?
This actor is set to feature in a modern update of the 1982 romantic drama that is in the works at Paramount.
Rooster?
Miles Teller.
Yes, he's doing Officer and Gentleman, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
I could see it.
I can see it too, but I don't think it's necessary.
No, it shouldn't happen, but it's...
Yeah, I don't... Well, I mean, maybe there's military themes that would be different now than they would have been when that movie was made.
It's more just about how there's multiple generations of people who are too young to have seen the original. And
don't really
care. They're not going to go back and watch the old one.
Though. No, they're not. It's not famous enough to go,
Guys, I'm being told that the new version will likely stick to the original story, but may introduce new elements given societal changes.
Oh, thank you, Garen.
Yeah.
All right, number two.
Oh, wait. Okay, when you're done with that, remind me about a Top Gun thing that I want to tell you guys.
Number two, Lost Boys.
Okay.
Number two. And number one.
Should have split the dough.
Logan's Run.
Yes.
It was so on a tee. Guy wins for being in the right seat, I guess.
Well, Garen could have chosen.
That's true.
Instead, he won't.
But Garen sucks.
Garen sucks. He really sucks. I can't tell you how much Garen sucks.
If I would have thought of that, I think I would
have. Garen, I'm talking about you. Sucking.
Who sucks?
You really suck. Go ahead, Garen. You were saying I was doing my hot new Garen Sucks song.
I would have probably gone with that if I would have thought of it, but it did not even cross my
mind. I thought you were going to guess Leprechaun. I really did. I thought that was going to be your guess.
It seemed like the Garen Garen
all right, give me the five, and then I'll hand it back. No, I'm sorry.
I throw it down.
You did not win.
Yeah.
All right. So congratulations, Elliot. You now have the con for LM.
Oh, boy.
M.
There's a lot of M's.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are.
Yeah.
I got one at the top of mind that I don't think you're going to pick.
Master and Commander.
That's it.
Wait, so he gets 15.
Oh, shit.
10 for the win and then 5 for that extra.
I don't
five.
Have that money with me at the moment.
All right.
Well, that's no big deal.
So I will owe either the... you know what? Pay him out the 15.
Okay.
And then I'll owe
but
the
But let's
kid.
Do the other thing on Monday when we do the other.
Just, all right. So
I
you
don't want to open that can.
You're going to get 3 fives.
All right.
It's exciting.
Yeah. Wow.
Except that I already throws. Wrinkled up the first one, so now I got to roll.
Oh, you're going to do it all in one instead of do 3 throws?
Yeah, I don't want to.
You want to hurt your... How's your shoulder?
Right now, because I had physical therapy this morning, they kind of kicked my ass, so it's a little sore.
A little
right
bruisey?
Now. Yeah, just... They were like, oh, you're doing great. Let's go up to heavier weights and stronger elastic bands. I'm like, no, let's stay with the...
let's not do that.
Yeah. Keep it easy.
Here we go. And 15. Hey, good catch.
Finally got one.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Nice.
Wasn't there talk of you getting rid of that John Lithgow and swapping in my head?
There was talk of it, but that requires planning and effort that I have not done either of.
Fair. Hang on. Now, before we go, Matt's got some breaking Top Gun news.
Okay. Oh, wait. Yeah. Where are you?
It's not even...
Breaking news with Matthew. It's probably not really news.
All right, we head over to Matthew Belknap, who has some Top Gun information for
us. Definitely not news. No, it's just a story about it's another family feud. You guys want to play the feud?
Yeah.
Top four answers on the board.
Yeah.
Name a popular... We're going to go in order from Jimmy, Elliot, Garen. Okay. Name a popular Tom Cruise movie.
Oh.
Jimmy.
I will say Top Gun.
Okay.
Yeah.
Elliot.
Oh, so it's me. Let's go Cocktail.
Garen.
Mission Impossible.
Nice.
Okay. So
better than mine.
On the show, the person at the podium said Top Gun. Of course, the number one answer. Then they went back to the family. It was mom and dad and three kids in their 20s.
Okay.
The first kid is the next person up. His answer was Tom Cruise. he had nothing. And so,
Tom Cruise.
And what did Steve Harvey say when he said Tom Cruise? My man. Just, great. Then it goes back to the dad. He says what I would have said too, Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Number two answer.
All right, great.
Now we got two. Then it goes to the mom. She says Cocktail, just okay. like Elliot did.
It's not up there.
It's number three.
It is. Nice.
Which I couldn't fucking believe.
So wait a minute. So what's number four? Don't tell us yet. What is number four?
I'm not
going to
tell you number four, but I'm going to tell you what the two other kids said.
Sure.
Okay.
And spoiler alert, they get three strikes. Again, these are not children. They're adults.
Right.
They're just younger than their parents. The next, it was two girls and a boy. The first kid said, the first boy said,
Tom Cruise.
He said, Tom Cruise. Now we get the sec. His brother says, The Titanic.
Oh, no.
All right. Good guess, sir. But no.
Not Titanic.
Not even a movie.
The Titanic. How he doesn't know one of the biggest movies of all time, who's in it, is crazy to me.
At least he didn't call it Tom-tanic. Because of Tom Cruise. God, you suck, Garen.
He should have.
Then it comes to the daughter, and she very confidently, as if she knows what she's talking about, goes, 1984.
What the shit?
Wow.
What is that?
Was she thinking about maybe War of the Worlds?
I don't know. I still don't know what she meant.
What the shit?
Was she thinking of like the year that another Tom Cruise movie came
is
out?
Is that the year that...
Like Risky Business maybe came out in,
or
around then?
When did...
All the Right Moves, probably?
No, the one with all the actors in it.
Taps?
Oh, Outsiders.
Outsiders.
That was 84? 83, 82. But yeah, I would guess that some Tom Cruise movie came out in 84. But yeah, baffling.
So
anyway, it went to the other family and they didn't get it either.
They didn't get it either.
By the way, they had a really good guess.
What was their guess?
Their guess, and I was mad I didn't think of it myself, Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, of course it's Jerry Maguire.
There's also with Dustin Hoffman,
Rain Man.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm going to say Eyes Wide Shut.
You also got Days of Thunder.
That's what Elise said.
There's Tropic Thunder.
But yeah.
But what about, Jerry Maguire's already an.
Yeah.
When
you hear it, you're like, oh, of course. But again.
What about Rain Man?
It wasn't Rain Man. What?
Minority Report?
No.
Vanilla
keep in
Sky?
Mind. Nope. This was like.
Oh, what's the one where he beats people up?
Oh.
Jack Reacher?
Yeah. Is it that?
No.
What is possible? So you feel like they were right. This is possibly as big as the other three movies.
Once it came up,
bigger
I was
than
like,
Jerry Maguire?
Sure. In a way. Yeah.
Really?
We can't think of it.
But the thing is. And you said Risky Business.
Keep in mind, this is the number four answer. Like two people of the 100 said
right.
In the survey. Like everybody said Top Gun. And
Top Gun was like 87.
Yeah, it was like Top Gun was like 60. Mission Impossible was like 30. And then they had, you know.
It's not Magnolia.
No.
What the?
Stop saying no.
Oh,
do the buzzer. Thank you.
A Few Good Men.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
I mean, I don't think of that as a Tom Cruise movie per se.
I don't
se,
either for some
but
reason.
But it is a very good movie.
And he is the star of it, even though Demi Moore and Jack Nicholson and
Kiefer Sutherland, am I right?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about Kevin the other Pollack. Day, quite frankly, is that, not quite frankly, it doesn't fit this, what I'm about to say here. What I was thinking about is how neat it is that we're friends with Kevin Pollack, who is in that movie.
Right.
Yeah. And I know we're friends with a lot of people in a lot of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, that movie is so... I mean, it's number four on Family Feud.
Right.
And that a guy that we know and that I could text was in that movie.
It's crazy.
It blows my mind. And he's great in it.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Kevin Bacon.
You're right.
Kevin Bacon's great in it.
Mm-hmm. Kiefer
Sutherland.
Cuba Gooding?
Cuba Gooding?
Yeah, he's good in it, too.
It's
Junior,
it's,
not the old man.
And
the old man's doing playing his
fucking
horn somewhere.
That's a fucking crazy cast when you think about it.
And it's a great movie.
Jack Nicklaus, the golfer.
It has a message, but it's like it's about the message, but you don't feel bad about it being a message movie.
Because it's also very dramatic and engaging.
Right.
So, yeah. I would have loved to, you know, it's like based on a play, right? I would have loved to see that play.
Hey, speaking of which, they're going to air that Good Night and Good Luck, George Clooney, on CNN on June 7th.
Wow.
They're going to air it. That's going to be great.
Cool. I'm excited.
I want to see that.
That's an appointment television.
Yeah, me too, kind of. Yeah. I agree, Garen.
Is it live or are they like filming
it's live.
Oh, shit.
Whoa, is that right?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Unless my information is incorrect or my reading of it is incorrect, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be live.
I'm boycotting CNN at the moment because Jake Tapper's an asshole, but I'm going to watch it for that, Garen.
What'd he do?
He wrote that book with that other asshole about the last few months of Biden's presidency, about how basically he got old. And as Danielle said, that's what you spent your time doing, writing a book talking about how this guy got old, as opposed to maybe doing some investigated on how the new guy is ruining our fucking country
and also is old.
Yes, right.
I mean, write a book whatever you want to write a book about, but Donald Trump is clearly also incapacitated.
The whole thing was there's one part in there where he says they worried they were going to have to put him in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
The same day, there's a photograph of him out riding his bicycle. Meanwhile, Donald Trump, you can't stay awake in a fucking meeting. Mm-hmm. And you wrote a book about that? Like,
and that was the hook, because that's what I heard. Like, when they're out there promoting it, and it's like, that's the headline, is that they will, you might have put him in a wheelchair.
Right.
Like, that's what you got on him?
Also, I think we had a pretty good president in a wheelchair at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did all right.
I will say this, Jake Tapper and the other guy had to hire a PR firm to handle damage control.
Ooh.
Because they're getting such negative press. Sales are atrocious.
Oh, wow.
Because, again, go fuck yourself.
Well, the reason why sales are so atrocious, and I hope I don't offend anyone by this, but the people who want to read that book are illiterate. it's targeting an audience that doesn't fucking read books.
Yeah.
So what are they doing?
You make a great point.
I don't really know a lot about Jake Tapper. Is he that side of things?
He's conservative, but he also will hold feet to the fire. But this is...
I didn't realize he was conservative, because he's on CNN.
He's on CNN.
Yeah.
CNN is...
yeah, I know. They're...
While they get... You know, MSNBC is the left-wing,
right.
Yeah.
You know, equivalent of Fox.
Right.
People like the... You know, because Trump once said, you know, CNN is the same as Fox, but it's not.
Right.
CNN leans... Yes, it might lean a little left, but more often, it's pretty down the middle.
I think they've tried to become more, because they were getting their asses handed to them by Fox. I think they've tried to, over the years, be more conservative.
Well, the most recent head of CNN... A lot of folks on CNN were unhappy because he was trying to push it more right.
Yeah. Because I think my opinion was during the last 10 years, they've been pretty down the middle. That's mm-hmm. my take.
Well, they're trying to get the airport waiting room audience.
Yeah.
So, you know, how are you going to get them to watch unless you're down the middle?
That's the problem, is the news shouldn't be trying to get audiences. They should be reporting the fucking facts. Wow.
And let's worry about getting those planes off the ground, huh?
Yeah. And then back onto the ground softly.
Duffy. What's that guy's name? I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Wynn Duffy?
Sean Duffy?
Sean Duffy. That's the guy, the reality star, who now is the head of...
Oh, that guy who was on Road Rules or something?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, the road's right there, and then...
he's obviously qualified.
That's how dumb our president is. Well, it's right there.
Yeah, I looked at his resume and said Road Rules. He's the guy. He rules at the road.
You know what I would like to do? I'd like to win Duffy Sean Duffy. Hi, Sean.
He was on the Real World Boston.
Oh.
Road Rules All-Stars.
How that?
A Winnebago driving event.
See, he knows the roads.
Jerk. All right, we're done. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for the books.
Yeah.
Thank you for the cookies, the wonderful choreo, the Oreo IDs. Thank you for the songs. Thank you for everything, everybody. We'll see you next week. We'll be right back in here on Monday. And assuming I don't have a rebound, there's always the risk of rebound with COVID.
Jinx it. Paxlovid.
But let's hope I don't get that.
Yeah.
So we can be back here on Monday. Yes, Garen.
Do you think that box has ivermectin Oreos in it?
I can't tell what the filling is.
I'm not opening
outside.
It today.
I'm not opening it today. I've been very clear about that. But you know what? Knowing that it might be ivermectin in there, I might know. That's
take
the way to go. We're done. On behalf of the Pop Culture Beast, looking over there, sucking as always. That's Garen Cockrell. Behind Video Village, the very interesting, we went to a store and bought things. Elliot Hochberg. our Top Gun expert, Matt Belknap. I'm Jimmy Pardo. We'll see you next time on the podcast. AK-47, Gone, Not Forgotten.